B-Pod Studios.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 2 o'clock in Philadelphia and time for the best show ever. Now, your starting lineup. Bring in the heat. Ricky. The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
Good afternoon on this football Friday. Best show ever here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. For the phone number to participate, 610-632-0975. Let's get right to our opening statements. We start with the word of the day. The word of the day today is trust.
Who do I trust? Me.
Trust. And this is about the Eagles and the Titans on Friday. We know what the weakness of the Eagles have been. We know what Dan Orlovsky broke down this week and what Barrett and Ron Jaworski and many others at NBC Sports Philadelphia have talked about with the Eagles stopping the run. And it's been a recurring thing each and every week. And because they won last week and everybody's happy, it hasn't come up as much. But we do know who's coming to town. And it's not so much the Titans team, even though they're well coached. And their defense is decent. It's about that Derrick Henry. He's a guy. He's maybe the only running back in the league currently that we've seen win regular season and playoff games basically by himself. And the question to everybody today is, how much trust do you have? It appears, now nothing's official, it appears that Jordan Davis will be able to return. We don't know fully the role and not going to tell us by today, but he's been at practice. He's been talking about how he's pushing, and there's too much of them being almost too positive for him likely to not play. So that's a good thing. To have him play would be good. But it's about the defensive coordinator this week specifically. Not every week. For example, against the Giants, yes, you want to contain Saquon, but I don't trust that quarterback nearly as much as you trust Tannehill, not because he's great, just Tannehill's been there, done that. Will the game plan be sound to put the Eagles in a good position? They've made some mistakes in the last few weeks, but I think they're going to tighten that up. I know that's been a point of emphasis at practice, and the players, are a couple guys like A.J. Brown, are due for a day against his old team. But the one recurring thing is that defensive coordinator and the special teams, the hidden yardage things, as people talk about, where the guy gets an extra 7 yards, and that could be the difference between a field goal and a touchdown on a drive. Do they get those things fixed, and how much trust, as a fan, do you have right now for both Gannon and Michael Clay, the special teams coach? Because if those two guys have a better game, I trust the quarterback. I'm not worried about Jalen Hurts at all. I trust this offensive line. This is the best offensive line this city has ever seen. I trust a lot of things on that offensive side of the ball. But they have to be able to have the ball. And I don't overreact to that Washington game. But if you take Washington's same game plan, insert Derrick Henry, and you do nothing different, well, you can get eaten alive by that. This is one of the few guys who truly can say he can win the game by himself. We've seen it too many times. And the only reason he doesn't have the rushing title currently is because Jacobs last week had 300 damn yards and all of a sudden passed him. He's number two in the NFL. We know this guy is real, and it's been a recurring thing. How much trust?
Who do I trust? Me!
How much trust do you have in one Jonathan Gannon to have a buttoned-up game plan to slow him down? And once you slow him down, then the Titans can't score. The Titans will not score. If you shut him down, 14's the max. So if you get the 15 points, however you get it, you win the game. If you don't shut him down, you don't have the ball enough to move the ball enough to do what you did last week and have the big rushing game and all that kind of stuff. So it's all about trust in this city, trust in your gut. How much trust do you have, Hunter Brody, in one, Jonathan Gannon against Derrick Henry?
Well, the Jonathan Gannon trust thing for me is like a seesaw. Every day I wake up and I feel different than the day before, but that really does describe who he is, because against the Colts, he's why you won the game. But then you see some other scenarios and you're like, dude, what the hell are you doing? How are you making that many mistakes and you have too much talent to be playing such soft coverage? But I think this one is too obvious to screw up. So on this seesaw that I have with Gannon, I feel good today in regards to trust on Sunday. If you stop Derrick Henry, what are they going to do in the passing game that should obliterate you to victory? I just find it hard to believe that they're going to be able to throw the ball to win the game on Darius Slay, on Bradbury. And that's even looking at the fact that you have the C.J. Gardner-Johnson who's injured at this point, and the secondary is what it is. So that's what I'm looking at. Derrick Henry, he's their strength. Is he going to beat you? Well, you know what? You might have to do some things that you're not normally going to do in the run game, or put a lot more people in the box, but you have to stop him. They will not beat you if you lay everything on the line to stop Derrick Henry. And you know what? If they do, I can at least put my hands up and say, you took away their number one option, and then we'll dissect what happened if that happens in that loss. But you need to look at what they do in their strengths and take it away, and from there see what happens. The special teams, I don't feel good about them, because it's been so many different phases every single week. Blocked or fake punts. You've got your own stuff blocked at times. The kickoff coverage is a mess. It's part of their identity at this point, and we're too deep in the season to expect that to automatically change, even if Michael Clay is aware, because I think he's been aware for a lot of these weeks, and it's just not getting fixed. So that's always going to be a problem. Until we get to the playoffs and until next season, we're still going to talk about special teams. Unfortunately, I don't think that's just going to evaporate. But Gannon, it depends on which day you get him. And I just hope to think that he is a guy that can see that it's so obvious to stop Derrick Henry this Sunday.
Yeah, special teams is all about discipline. When your coach for your special teams comes out and says, we're not doing it right, I think you have problems all the way up and down the line. And I'm talking about roster problems with special teams. But with Jonathan Gannon, this is very interesting to me, because I would have said at the beginning of the year, I had about zero trust in this guy. It has grown a little bit for me. I don't think everybody's in that same type of a boat, because my biggest issue is being able to make changes in game. If you can make changes in game, you can stop whatever you like. Obviously, they're going to go into this game with the one sole thing of stopping Derrick Henry, because that's how you should look at this Titans team. Now, if it doesn't work early on, and this is where I'm going to make my point. We saw Jonathan Taylor. I think Jonathan Taylor is a very good back. Picked up 46 yards on his first drive against the Eagles. What happened after that? Shut him down completely. That tells me that Gannon has been able to make some changes, at least in game, first and foremost. Can he do that against a guy like Derrick Henry? I'm not 100% sure he could shut him down completely like he did to Jonathan Taylor, but I think you could, you know what, let him get his yardage here and there, and then, you know what, let's make a big play, a big stop, score a touchdown. Now the Titans can't do that anymore. But it's going to be in-game adjustments. Am I 100% that he could make them all the time? No. But do I think he can at times? Yes, he proved it against the Colts. And that is growing for me. And that's what I've seen. At least we've seen some growth out of him. Be able to change some things up mid-game. Not wait for halftime. He changed it after the first possession. After a scoring possession of the Colts. Changed it, flipped it up, fixed things just like that. The special teams aren't getting fixed this week, so.
Interesting. 610-632-0975. We're talking about trust with the Eagles in the whole city. How many of the top guys do we trust? Do we trust Howie Roseman? Do we trust Dombrowski? Do we trust Daryl Morey? Do we trust Chuck Fletcher?
No.
Do we trust Doc Rivers? Do we trust Tortorella? Do we trust Rob Thompson? Do we trust Sirianni? Who in this city right now do we trust? And Gannon, does he go into, like, right now it's the holiday season. We're counting down. We're 23 days to Christmas. Now, you have the naughty versus nice. So some of you kids probably tighten it up, because I told you that Santa, he weighs December heavier than the other months. So if you can get your act together between now and Christmas, Santa will still come, even if you were failing all along. But just make sure you tighten it all the way up in the month of December, or Santa's not going to give you anything. So you have the naughty nice list. But we have the trust, non-trust list in Philadelphia. And I think the only unanimous person, 100% unanimous, would probably be Dombrowski. The only reason I think Rob Thompson wouldn't be 100% is he's only did it for part of 1 year. No one has yet seen him manage over 162 because he hasn't had a chance to manage over 162 just yet. But there's very few in this city who we just have super, super trust with. And then who in this city do we trust the least? And that's where I have to ask, in addition to all the football things, is Chuck Fletcher literally the person we trust the least in the city of Philadelphia? And if that's the case, if the fans are doing a vote of no confidence and the team last night lost their 11th game of their last 12, how long could this keep going on? But you know what? Yesterday we were surprised. There were some people out there who said, I'm frustrated with the Flyers, for example, but I'm still going to go. Maybe some of those people, maybe they do believe in Chuck Fletcher. I can't imagine if they do. Maybe some people out there do trust Doc Rivers. We never hear from any of them. Who do we trust in this city? And more importantly, in this football game, a big game, because you have to watch. There's another thing with this football game. You're playing at home, 1 o'clock Sunday. Then you have three straight road games. Most teams, first of all, not that many teams will have three straight road games on their schedule. But historically, it is very difficult to go 3-0 in three straight road games. If you lose this game, you're almost guaranteed a minimum this year of three losses. And now at that point, you have to hope that Minnesota also has three losses. You have the tiebreaker above them, but you still have the Giants twice. You still have the Cowboys. And at Chicago the week before, which is the ultimate trap game. You got to watch it. This week is big for a number of reasons. Beyond just this week, how much do you trust this squad to get it together? 610-632-0975. We'll be back here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Best show ever. 610-632-0975 on this Football Friday. Talking about who we trust with this Eagles game coming up. Big one. Bigger than we realize. And also, who do we trust in this city? Period. 2 o'clock hour. Brought to you by Ferguson HVAC Line, Conklin Attention HVAC Contractors. For equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job, visit one of Ferguson's kind of locations in Ben Salem, King of Prussia, Penn Salkin, where I grew up, or Westchester today. And now time to start the Twitter poll with Jen Scordo. Hello, Jen.
Hello there. So who on the Eagles do you trust more this weekend against the Titans? You have two answers to choose from. One, Jonathan Gannon, or special teams. Early votes have Jonathan Gannon winning by 86%.
Fair. Thank you, Jen. Not that I do trust him more. The question is, again, just to lay out before we get to the phones, because Gary really wants to talk to Ricky Bell. Now, the three straight road games is not something to be taken lightly, because we got to 10-1, and that's great. But if you go on a losing streak, you don't get the bye, et cetera. The great start doesn't get you anything. But the great start obviously sets you up to be in really good shape going forward into the playoffs. And that tiebreaker, the fact that you've already beaten Dallas, you still have the Giants on your schedule twice to take care of you. You control your own destiny there. And you've already beaten the Vikings. So Vikings, Cowboys, and the Giants ahead of you. You're in really good shape there as far as how your schedule goes to lock up the bye and try to have guys as healthy as possible going into the playoffs. And hopefully everybody will be going to Lincoln Financial Field. The trouble spot is, we will have to look at Minnesota's schedule, but they only have the two losses, right? They have the two losses. You have Dallas with the three losses, one more game there to play against them. If one of the three straight road games you were to lose was to Dallas, obviously they pick up a game there. You lose this game, and they've made up the ground. They've split now in the division, and now we're looking at tiebreakers. We're looking at, well, what about this? What about that? Okay, do we go by divisional record or common opponents? Do I really want to be talking about in January 1st and January 8th when they're playing the Saints and they're wrapping up the season against the Giants? Do we really want to be talking about common opponents or division record or conference this and conference that? No, you don't want to be doing any of those things late in the year. So you win this game, and now you can absorb a loss in the three straight road games, and then the last two games are home. Saints-Giants are home, and hopefully the Giants game doesn't matter. But if you lose this game and get your second loss, you're basically guaranteed a loss in there. You're at three, and other teams have a path to three, including Dallas. I would like to stay away from that. And if you win this game, it won't be on paper, but in my mind, you kind of locked up the bye. You lose this game, there's an opportunity to lose the bye, and they've played too well for too long to lose that opportunity.
It's an excellent point. No, it really is.
Here's your Minnesota schedule. They have the Jets this week. Then they're at the Lions. They have the Colts at home, the Giants at home, and at Green Bay and at Chicago.
So very winnable games.
Winnable games. Now, I don't think they're going to win out, but it's not impossible. Like, their schedule is not so difficult. Maybe they have, okay. So right there, if you give them one loss the rest of the way, that'll put them at three. If you give them two, that's four.
Let's say two, because that's probably more realistic.
Okay.
Two losses.
So they'll be 13-4.
Yes.
That means the Eagles have to make sure they're 13-4.
Right.
They have the tiebreaker. You lose this game, that's two. You got to play the Giants twice in Dallas. You lose once to Dallas, you lose once to the Giants.
You're still fine, though.
You lose this game. You lose this game. Yeah, you lose one to Dallas.
And even if you still find a way, the way it's been going, it's been more of like a nice ride. You don't have to worry about anything. The last thing we want to do in January is start dissecting how close it is and all that. Three straight road games is sort of like we heard Doc Rivers talk about this the other day. Sometimes there's scheduled losses throughout a season, and that is absolutely the definition of that. So here's a question, though, heading into this Titans game.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any fear because of the Titans' run defense, which is second in the league in yards per rush attempts, and with rushing touchdowns per game, they're first in the league, and you know how good this team is, the Eagles, that is, in the red zone with Jalen Hurts, and maybe they can dial some things up to stop you there. Is there a fear that their run game doesn't work as efficiently as you would like? You can take advantage of their corners, though. So there is the passing game element here.
They have shown that they can beat teams multiple ways. Not special teams, but they can get you in the run game or the pass game, and they turn you over. So for that reason, I feel good even if the Titans are able to slow down. I don't expect them to get 300 yards again running. I still feel all right about their offense. All my concerns are more on that defensive end. And I actually think that A.J. Brown is due for a day. I truly, truly think he's due for a day beyond the revenge things we talked about yesterday.
Which goes both ways, though. I mean, if he's going to have a good day, it turns into a nice little revenge game for him. But I don't see any issues with the Eagles' offense right now. I really don't. I know they haven't been that high-flying Eagles offense that we saw at times earlier in the season, but they're doing enough to win. And you look at the game they lose, they weren't on the field enough. I think that was the biggest point that came across in that game. But Jalen Hurts has been outstanding. He's playing like an MVP. He's got plenty of weapons to go to, even though Goddard's out, which Goddard will be back at some point during this season. So that's a positive in itself. I don't see the Eagles not scoring in this game. I don't see them scoring under 28 in this game.
And the Titans, look, they have some good defensive numbers against the run, but you don't play this level of offensive line every single week. It's a different monster with Lane and with Jason Kelce and Maialata and Dickerson. It's a different beast. So if they do their job and start opening up those gaps for your running backs to take advantage of, or if Jalen Hurts keeps it on any sort of option, then, you know, it changes the game. These numbers are against other teams. This offensive line's a weapon.
I think the whole RPO thing changes that in a sense that, okay, what's he going to do? Is he going to run? Is he going to pass? All of a sudden, he's scrambling and running for 30 yards against us. That's the way you change things, and Jalen Hurts runs that to a T. I like what I've seen from this Eagles offense. You have to love what you're seeing from the quarterback position. As long as the quarterback performs, Eagles score a ton of points.
I think so. 610-632-0975. About to get to the phones. Have you guys seen the trailer for that Cocaine Bear movie?
No, but no. You mentioned this the other day, and then I'm starting to see everyone talk about it.
I actually saw it on Twitter yesterday when we were talking about it, but I didn't get a good look at it.
You saw it, Jen?
Yes, I saw it.
Let me tell you, I can't wait to see this movie. The Cocaine
I'm stuck
bear.
On the Casey Anthony documentary.
It happened. I saw somewhere. Didn't read the whole article. I saw a headline that something akin to this movie happened in the 80s.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently,
no, it is based on a true story.
Well,
I think loosely.
Yeah. If you see the trailer. No,
is
not
it
on
a comedy?
Slasher comedy. It looks
a dark
like,
comedy?
Right. It looks like the greatest movie ever made is what it looks like.
I mean, kind of like Sharknado a little bit,
but way better.
But
higher
better,
budget.
Yeah.
Late Ray Liotta is in it. Ice Cube's son.
R.I.P.
The funny guy who does the stuff from TikTok's in it. The guy that does the store stuff. Like he's like,
oh, they got TikToksman in here.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's a stand-up comedian who started doing TikTok.
Oh, I got you.
The pandemic. But yes, he's in it. And I just wondered if people had saw it. Let me tell you. I need a lot of that cocaine bear. Gary in Manchester Township, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Gary?
Yeah, Gary, I want to talk to Ricky Bo.
Yeah, I'm here. What's up?
Yeah. Wait a minute. Oh, no. Wait a minute.
Gary,
Gary, what's going on here?
Ricky's right here.
Okay, I want to say I expected the Eagles to go to the Phillies to go to the Super Bowl. No, I never expected the Eagles to go to the playoffs. I just wanted them to go to the playoffs. And they went to the Super Bowl. They went to the World Series.
Yeah, they did. They went to the World Series. They had a good little run there.
Yeah, they did.
What are your thoughts on that run they had?
Oh, man, that's great, man. I can't believe the Phillies went to the World Series. I expected them to go to the playoffs, but not to the World Series.
Gary, what do you think of the Eagles going to go to the Super Bowl now?
Yeah, I really do. I think the Eagles will go to the Super Bowl.
Outstanding.
Beautiful. Thanks, Gary. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Gare.
All right.
Sorry. 610-632-0975. The Gare.
Did I go Gare?
Yes.
I did?
Yeah, you went
I didn't
Gare.
Even notice.
Said, thanks, Gare.
Ah, see,
No. It's not. No.
You did do it.
You did do the Gare. This is something that happens with y'all that I always find fascinating.
What's that?
How the names end up being like names. Like when Coach calls Amy Fadul Aim.
Yeah.
If it's only two syllables, why are we shorting it? Short, like Jennifer, too
yes.
long. If you're, let's say your name was Jenny. Let's say it was.
Right.
I don't need to go Jen, because Jenny's not hard to say. Ricky, Hunter. I don't need to shorten two-syllable words.
You're Tyrone, and I always go Ty, for the most part.
You do. This is something I've noticed, that some people feel the need to shorten words.
He shortens everything.
Right, you shorten everything.
Oh, I'm going to start calling you Hunt. Just Hunt.
Hunt.
Not Hunter.
So all those
Hunt.
Names and stuff, and no Hunt.
Now we're adding a fourth.
I kind of like Hunt.
Oh, now we like Hunt.
What up,
I like
Hunt.
Right. Yeah, what's
I
up,
like
Hunt?
It, too.
Right, whatever.
Now we got Scored and Hunt.
There you
Scords.
Go. Scords.
Or Scords.
Yeah, you can't go nowhere.
Gotta, yeah.
Just, come on.
Don't wait
too
early.
610-632-0975. We'll be back here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, best show ever. 610-632-0975. Word of the day is trust. We've been talking about different people that we trusted, and also somebody I was very excited about talking to Ricky, which is nice. We like that. 610-632-0975. Does anybody actually like waffles?
Yeah, I like a waffle.
No.
I won't go out of my way for it, but if it's there, it's not bad.
If you have French toast, pancakes, waffles, does anybody make waffle their first choice?
No.
No.
Pancake.
Yeah, I mean,
pancake first, yeah.
I mean, I like a French toast, but either way.
I think I'm on the French toast over pancakes.
But either way, no one likes waffles. Why do they still exist? But
because they have the best scent.
Nah.
They smell good when they're cooking.
So, I agree with that.
I like the scent of the French toast. Mm. The toast that is from France.
Well, if you go to a brunch, what's the one thing you smell when you walk in?
Syrup.
No, they're
And coffee.
They're making the waffle.
Cup of Joe.
And then, Dylan, weirdo, he likes waffles the most.
Of course he does.
Pancakes the least.
Of course he does.
Rockhead back there.
I'm a savory breakfast person, so I'm going like eggs and grits and, you know, meats.
We'll see, you branched off on your own thing.
Is it bad if I said I like grits if they're chunky?
Yes, that's bad.
Yeah, that's bad.
Why is that?
Because you shouldn't have chunky grits. Come on, Ricky.
I kind of like them like that.
I wouldn't even know how to make them chunky.
You don't really like grits.
No.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's not like I eat them a lot.
So you don't really like them if you want them all lumpy. But
I like them lumpy.
The Eagles. One thing I don't trust is this thing that everybody seems to be excited about, and that's that Eagles Christmas album with them playing a game. And my issue with it is I only believe one of them can actually sing.
Violetta?
Yeah. And the rest of them are kind of like riding the coattails.
I actually heard him sing.
How was it?
When Barkan had that thing, he got up and sang like a cappella.
Yeah, he can sing. But the rest of them, like I guess the money's going to charity. Well, here is some of the audio from, which song do you want to play, Jen? I don't care.
So I think Lane Johnson is singing Blue Christmas. I'm not 100% positive. If it is, he can sing.
Well,
you want to hear that one?
Yes, let's hear it. Maybe Lane Johnson singing Blue Christmas by Elvis.
That's
not him.
That's not him?
No.
Well, who is it? Just thinking about you. Dylan and I thought this was Lane Johnson.
I don't think it is. Decorations in red on a green Christmas tree
won't be the same.
Kelsey too.
That might be Kelsey.
That's Kelsey in there.
But I think it was somebody different in the beginning.
Lane was, I guess.
It's pretty good though, regardless.
It isn't bad at all.
Fade that one. That's better than I expected.
That was pretty good.
That was actually really good.
And then apparently Connor Barwin was in the booth as the producer.
Well, we're grading on a scale when we say it's pretty good.
Yeah, we're grading on the scale. Okay. What are the odds? You just heard some of that song. Christmas, you're putting in a shuffle playlist as the kids are opening the gifts or whatever you're doing in the morning. Would you mind putting that song in the rotation?
No. I wouldn't mind it, but you're not going to like who I go to for my Christmas option.
We'll get to that in just a moment. Now, what's the other song you have?
Baby, Please Come Home.
All right, now this is an emotional song.
And I don't know who's singing on this one.
We'll find out.
Love.
pretty good.
See, I like that one.
It was at least four different voices, right? Four or five.
I thought I heard Kelsey in there at some point.
Somewhere in there. But the real singing, the power. Oh, no, who was playing that saxophone? There was one, I think one of the players was playing. Was at least faking the play.
That note was a little different. It's not like Christmas at all. I remember when you were here. And all the fun we had last year. Well, harmonies are good.
All right, you can fade that one.
It's pretty good.
It's I like
pretty
it.
Good. I didn't know what to expect. You know, when is Kelsey ever sang?
I don't know.
Like in public for us to know, or Lane Johnson. Because it's by a lot of Lane and Kelsey. And apparently on one of the tracks, Jalen Hurts sings background. And apparently Connor Barwin is the producer.
Well, he's probably doing a lot of work. With all due respect,
I see where that's coming in. I knew somebody was going to say that.
Well,
how do you know that? So you're suggesting
yes.
that perhaps these were many takes, and you take the best takes and you grab and drop and click and grab and put together everybody's absolute best to make it sound presentable. Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, what are the odds that this is one of the best offensive lines in the league? They're so dominant there, yet all of them can be dominant with their vocal cords too.
Well, Mailata can sing.
He can. But now we're taking the whole line.
What was he on?
The mass singer.
Yeah. He can sing. He's legitimate. It's those other guys. I didn't know. I knew people were going to have fun with it, so I'm always want people to have fun. I was trying to say, like, okay, you buy it for the charity or for the novelty of having it. Then the question becomes, with Christmas, how long of a shelf life? Obviously, the ultimate shelf life would be, well, in the modern era, is Mariah. But back in the day, people still play that Bing Crosby, Nat King Cole, Burr Ives, etc. Like, that can last a long time.
Don't forget Bruce.
I don't care for that.
Wait. Blue Christmas, performed by Lane Johnson and Jason Kelsey, and assist from members of the Hooters.
Okay.
Billy's own the Hooters.
Okay.
That's kind of neat.
All right, so that one
legitimizes it, right?
Okay, yeah. I don't know.
You think it hurts the product?
No, it doesn't hurt the product.
I agree.
And the album came out today, so you can get it now.
Yeah, and I'm going to get the album. The question is,
how many different songs are on this?
I'll find out. I'm getting more info as we speak.
Yeah, that won't dictate whether how many. I'm going to buy it regardless.
Do you think 4 years from now you go back to this is your question?
That's the question. So this year it's great, and everyone should get it because it supports charity if you can afford it.
And it could end up a collector's item.
Well, not if a million people buy it.
Oh, they win the Super Bowl, well.
Not if a million people buy it. They say that's the problem with collector's items. Once too many people have it, it's not worth anything.
True.
So are you excited? Would you go back to it is the question. Or will
the
you
second song,
play
yes. The first song, not so much.
It's probably, for me personally, a 1 or 2 year thing. And I think maybe 3 or 4 years down the road, it might lose some sauce. But I think it's super fun. And, I mean, yeah, it's cool for the moment.
Cool for the moment.
Cool for the moment, in my eyes.
See, he's calling it cool for the moment. That means you like the team.
Well, I just, all right, 10 years from now, am I going to go back to listen to Jordan Mailata sing? I don't know. Probably not, if I'm being honest.
I think I would go listen to Mailata sing. It's some of the others that I have a question.
Fair point.
I think Mailata may have a future singing because he's not focused on it. He's lifting weights and blocking.
You might be singing while benching.
So we're saying there was a lot of play on voices here.
That's what Hunter said.
Right.
I haven't said anything because I don't know yet.
So it's completely sold out.
Oh, it's
the first run came out today. It's on vinyl,
I knew
which
it was
is kind of neat.
How many did they sell?
I don't know, but it was $85, and it sold out. The record alone was $75, sold out. You can get some greeting cards and magnets for $20 that are not sold out, but another, it's going to be reissued on December 9th, and it will probably sell out then, too.
Yeah.
Which is great. Yeah, that's wonderful.
I'm just saying, everybody got to hear it. I was just wondering what people thought about it because I didn't know. I thought, was it going to be like a joke? It's clearly, like, it's fun, But clearly, it didn't sound like it was a joke.
No, they didn't play this off to be a joke. Even when I heard about it, I don't think they were playing it off as a joke.
No, I thought it was just going to be a joke. If you put a bunch of people that can't sing.
Let me put it this way. If they did that to a baseball team I was on, it would sound like crap.
Right. That's what I mean. Sometimes people lay out with the best of intentions, and then the album just doesn't come together. First two tracks I heard. Now, I can tell you what I'm probably not going to be doing. I'm not buying the record.
You're not going vinyl?
No.
Well, there's a lot of people right now that are all in on the vinyl.
I am for Pink Floyd. I am for Teddy Pendergrass. I'm not in for this on vinyl.
Wow.
Maybe wow.
Yeah, if
I'm
I could get it.
I'm not putting this on record.
If you're a vinylsman, I feel like this is a vinyl item.
I have Christmas vinyl.
Why would this be a vinyl item?
Because it's like a collector thing. It's like, hey, I got this on vinyl. You're not actually comparing it to the other records that you threw out there, but it's...
I got Miles Davis on vinyl. I'm not buying this on vinyl. Give me this on digital download. Like, just put this on Planet from this.
With the disrespect I hear from you.
It's not disrespect. I'm saying... A $75 record?
Yeah.
That's a lot of cake.
Man, I've paid that much for a record. But it wasn't for a joke. It was something I will listen to for years to come.
I see what you're saying
about
the joke.
There's your answer then.
No. I see what you're saying.
But I would listen to the download maybe on Shuffle if I like a Blue Christmas.
You're saying if it was a superstar singer doing it, I would pay that. But this is like a joke kind of thing.
I wonder if they will put it out digitally, because I would totally buy it. The whole album, yeah.
I'd even get it on CD. I have one CD player left that I own.
Right.
That I would play it.
In your car?
No, it's not my car.
In the house?
In the house. I have one. Well, my record player also plays CD.
Right, yeah.
In a pinch. But short of that, I was just wondering. But all right. You guys, overall, I will say, relative to what I thought, that's a 10.
The Elvis is a no for me. The other song, yes. On a Christmas morning, I'm talking about.
On Christmas morning, you wouldn't listen to the Blue Christmas.
No.
But the other one, you would.
Yeah, I would.
All right. Let's go back to the folds. Kyle and Ratner, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Kyle?
Yo, Tyrone, how you doing?
All right, how are you?
Yo, you don't like Bruce Springsteen, you said, right?
Well, I have a complicated history with Bruce Springsteen, if you must know. Probably, I'll explain more of it after your call. I've actually met Bruce Springsteen before. Seemed like a nice enough fella. And I recognize his place in the rock and roll pantheon. But as far as his voice goes, I would prefer if I gargled glass and sang.
I get you. I used to albums and stuff.
Because of an interview?
Really, really good.
Because of an interview?
Well, he's playing in the interview, too. He has a piano and a guitar, and he's doing all of his songs like just by himself, and he's really good. I was impressed, and I'm a fan now, and I never was before.
I don't have any... If people like Bruce, like John Clark, by all means, love Bruce. With me, it's always been a disconnect between the singing voice, but I recognize the magnitude of, like, look at what happened with his tour when he announced his 2023 tour. Look what happened. I mean, the tickets were flying out of there a million miles an hour.
Yeah, he's like a god in, like, the rock world, you know?
Right. I give him his credit. It's just not always for me. What do you have on Jordan Davis?
I just think he's going to be a huge part of this game, and I think he's going to be the single reason why we win this game.
So how many snaps? I believe he's going to play. We'll talk to Dave Van Garrel later.
Half.
Well, he's going to play. He's going to play half the snaps. I don't think he's going to play a third of the snaps. But if he's on there on first down on the obvious running downs, sometimes with Joseph, they could throw a package that the Tennessee Titans have not seen so far. And I think, thanks for the call, Kyle, it could be quite interesting to see. I do think with him practicing both Wednesday and Thursday that he's going to play, it's just a matter of when they actually decide to share it with us.
Yeah, and the Eagles can take advantage of their tackles. They can definitely do some things with some edge rushing and all, but it all is all predicated on can you stop the run and then force Tannehill maybe to have to throw the football. He's in the pocket. Maybe some edge rushers can do some work from there, but you can expose that offensive line for sure. You got to put them in. We've seen it against Washington. When Washington was third and one, third and short, because they did so well on first and second down, you're not set up to succeed. So you got to make it second and long with a team that runs heavy? Come on, that's what you got to do, Gannon.
But wait a minute. Go back to that Commanders game. How many times did they have third downs and he just dunked them? I mean, he threw some pretty good passes, Heinicke did, to get them back to first down. I mean, is Tannehill going to be able to do that against an Eagles defense? I'm going to say they've learned, right, but I think the Eagles have learned from that game against the Commanders. And we had a Teron Davenport on yesterday. I loved how, and I respect him. The one thing he said right away is, well, what they have to do is smash mouth football. Come in here, stop the Eagles on the first drive. Remember that. Just remember that for Sunday afternoon, because I'm not buying that's going to happen.
Oh, it may not happen, but yeah, if Tannehill's much better than Heinicke. He's not great, but Heinicke stinks. It's just that
McLaurin was everywhere.
Yeah, Washington's weapons I like more than Tennessee's weapons in the passing game.
Yeah, but even then, he was always in manageable situations. Too often. There was a couple plays where he wasn't. Tannehill, if you let him get comfortable, is far superior. So you have to shut down the run. I think that he could do the same things if he's always in third and two.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think, in fact, he'll do more because he's better. Even without the weapons, the same weapons, because he's so much better as a quarterback. That's why it's so important for Gannon to be on his game and really work to shut down, if he can, Derrick Henry.
Well, isn't it too obvious, though?
Or slow down.
What the design of the game should be?
If it's anything but, we got to be sitting here going, yo, dude, what did you look at all week long? And then at some point, I'm like, Sirianni, how are we allowing this to happen? He doesn't call plays. It doesn't mean he's not working his ass off every day with Shane Steichen, because he definitely does.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, part of being more of the overhead view is you get a different look on the team than if you're in the trenches calling plays every single play call like you are as a normal, you know, offensive guy, if you will. So if it's something ridiculous, at some point do we look at Sirianni and wonder if there's discussion there or no?
You know what's funny? We're talking about a trust tree today.
Mm-hmm.
This is interesting that you brought that up, because this was going through my mind on how much do I trust Sirianni. I think he's a great coach. I really do. But could you trust him as high up on the tree as possible if he's got that much trust in Jonathan Gannon?
No.
Do you see what I mean?
Does he have to pretend to have that much because of the way that it's structured with Laurie and Howie? I mean, does he really believe in Gannon?
In public, but I mean, he's still the head coach.
And getting into the Derrick Henry thing, you cannot arm tackle. And that's one thing we've seen this defense try to do a lot. You try to arm tackle that guy, he's going to bury you.
He will. He will. Sirianni, he's more trust than non-trust.
Correct.
For sure. I mean, he's 10-1.
I just think he loses points because of who he trusts.
He didn't hire him, though.
But he's got to trust him.
No. He can go into the meeting room. He doesn't call plays. Hey, Shane, you keep going over this game plan. I got to go talk to him. You lose points. If they don't come out, now it's one thing if you pack the box, he can't play for them. But if he does the wrong thing and Sirianni allows it, talking about Gannon does the wrong thing and Sirianni allows it, then absolutely – my trust would drop, because it's obvious. But so it was obvious that you should let Carr last year complete every one of his passes.
Good point.
He never made any changes. And also in his bone marrow, he believes that if you let a team run and don't give up big plays, that you'll win. He believes that. He wakes up and believes that. He just does. All right, who's going to have a better weekend? 610-632-0975. Gannon or Chris Paul? We'll be back here on 97.5 The Fanatic at NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Best show ever. 610-632-0975. 3 o'clock hour brought to you by Corpley's Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie and hoagie party trays, every bit as good. Word of the day is trust. Now, giving an update, Nick Sirianni says it's been business as usual for A.J. Brown. He says that's a good thing because he's not, you know, pressing or anything before the game. He'll be pressing on Sunday. And also that Jordan Davis has had a good week of practice. He wouldn't definitely say Jordan Davis is playing, but, you know, that's the way that is trending. Now, we know that when it comes to the injury report, you cannot trust the Eagles. But with that in mind, trust, we were talking about, in addition to Gannon having to have a good game plan, who do we trust in this city, period? You know, rather than naughty and nice list, we have our trust or not trust list. So let's start with the fact that the union consistently have been good. We trust the ownership group. We trust Jim Curtin. And that's why the choke, or unfortunately I respect him too much to call it anything else, in extra time there was so heartbreaking and then in the shootout. So if you look at the four majors, if you go around, all you have to do is say if you trust them or you don't trust them. Let's start with Jeff Lurie. Do you trust him or not trust him? And what we mean is it 51? There's no 50-50. That doesn't exist. So it's either from 0 to 49 means you don't trust him, and from 51 to 100, it means you do. There is no 50-50 in the middle here. Do you trust Jeff Lurie?
Yeah, I do. Absolutely. This organization has had so much success.
For me, it's a yes. I mean, do you want to win? I mean, that's the way I judge an owner. Does this guy want to win? Absolutely, 100% he does. Does he give the money for them to be able to win? 100% he does, yes.
Jen, do you trust him?
Yes, I do.
I trust him even though he sounds like an alien.
Sounds like an alien.
Man, when he does his address to the team, it's like he lives in a Martian.
Well, they all do because they live in a world where they have unlimited money, which isn't normal. So they don't know what the real life every day is. They speak in a different language.
Don't the owners kind of all remind you of horse, like horse owners, like thoroughbred owners at a race? That's what it reminds me of.
And it's kind of on the nose with football because they don't care about the players any more than they people care about horses. All right. Do we trust Joshua Harris, Sixers owner?
I do. And this one's interesting because there's so many different angles to the Joshua Harris and David Blitzer and just everything going on. But absolutely, I have my trust in them.
I'm in that one also, yes.
Same. Yeah, I trust him.
I also trust him.
Wow.
So far with the owners, we're 2-for-2. Next up, Mr. Philly Blunt himself, John Middleton. Do you trust owner John Middleton?
I do trust John.
That dude opens up his wallet. Yeah, how could you? See, that's what I mean.
Well, he was way too tied to Matt Klentak.
And I didn't like
he
that part
that
of him.
He got that together, though.
Yeah, he figured it out. He figured out that analytics crap sucks and got rid of him. He's got the right pieces in there right now, and he's got the right president in there right now.
He has earned my trust.
All right. I also trust him.
Even someone who makes
money off of nonsense? Well, here's the tough part. I know this is one of those things where you create a product. No one uses that product for what it was originally thought of. But what he did was he never changed the formula. Like the people that liked him, liked him. The people that don't like them think they burn too quickly. And that's just the way that it is. But he's used that money for good. And now number four. And we can't really say Comcast because they don't run the day-to-day. So I guess we're kind of saying Dave Scott.
Yes.
Kind of, he's in that spot. Do you trust Scott?
Absolutely not. This guy is a joke. He's afraid to make decisions, which is now forcing them to stay on the lane that they're in now. Apparently, Danny Briere might take over for Chuck Fletcher, but Chuck Fletcher might not actually get fired. They might just move him to a different role and remove the GM tag. It is an absolute disaster what's happening with the orange and the black, and I don't trust this guy to fix the issue at all. Like when Middleton and Klentak were doing their thing, I trusted Middleton. Even though he was emotionally tied to Klentak for some reason, I still thought he had a head on his shoulders that he could figure it out. I don't think this guy could figure it out, which means we're going to have this nonsense for years to come.
Ricky Bo?
I trust my exes more than I trust him right now. How's that?
Oh, my goodness.
This is a freaking joke. The Flyers are a joke right now. And to fix it, You want somebody to respect you? Fix it now. Stop waiting. We've been waiting around a long time for this Flyers team to get better. It's unacceptable.
Jen?
Yeah, it's been way too long. I do not trust him.
I also have to go into non-trust, but once three votes already happened, It's already a given. Again, this is as bad as it's ever been for the Flyers organization right now. At least, well, definitely in my lifetime. But I think in the history of the franchise. Because in the beginning, in the early 70s, it was like new. And it was just something like they were brand new. Then they were winning. And then they were good for two decades. And now they're it's just at a low point.
You know that gif of the dumpster fire? That is truly the Flyers. You know, the people send it as a joke, but that's actually the Flyers right now.
All right. So with owners, we have three trusts. One that we don't trust, 610-632-0975. Let's go down a level and go to the president slash GM, the person who's calling the personnel shots. Because whatever they're called, the person who's doing the personnel.
Because with the Phillies, you can't go to the GM.
Right, because he's not doing the personnel. No. He's trying to learn about personnel, or he's doing legwork, and he'll become a new good GM in Minnesota in 3 years or whatever it might be. But we know Dombrowski is the guy. So let's start with, since it is Football Friday, Howie Roseman, again, 0 to 49% means no trust, 51 to 100 means you do. And there is no 50-50 here. Howie Roseman, I know your vote, but Hunter, go right ahead.
Of course I trust my guy Howie, football guy Roseman.
Howie's the magic man.
What?
Football guy.
What did you say his name was again?
Howie, football guy Roseman.
Who?
One more time.
Howie, football guy, Roseman. I'm only saying it because that's how he probably addresses himself. That's
Howie, the linebacker.
Well, yeah, I could see. Could you imagine him playing linebacker?
Yeah.
Stopping Derrick
Henry.
Can you imagine the high fives you get afterwards?
Oh, a nice after fist bump on the sidelines.
How about the double dinosaur?
Ricky Bo, do you trust?
I do trust Howie. He's trust made Howie? Some moves, and he's made some good ones. His moves in the past that he didn't do well, he has covered them up.
Sometimes it wavers, but yes, I trust him.
And overall, with our scale, yes, I do, after all, trust Howie Roseman.
My question to you, though, because you're using the 0 to 49 and you're using the 51 to 100.
Yeah.
You trust him. What number does that fall for you?
All right. So, honestly, I don't think he's a football guy.
I know he's not. That was the joke.
No. I was saying that for the people, for the people. So, I give him like a 50 there, but let me finish because there's no 50s. When it comes to the cap, I give him 100.
Yeah.
So I trust him 75 out of 100. I trust
that's
him.
That's pretty good.
Good
that's
number.
What
I'm
saying. That's a good number.
Like, as long as he actually stays away from, like, actual football, I really, really, really trust
him. Think about what we're saying, though. Our general manager of our football
team. Well, they have scouts and player personnel, guys. Listen to those guys. Make everything work with the numbers, and boom.
Stay out of the defensive meetings.
There's other guys.
Whoa.
There's other guys who have been in other organizations who are great with the football and terrible with the money.
And they're probably in worse positions.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, Charlie, yeah, you'd rather have a guy that knows what he's doing with the money and the cap space and all that stuff. I mean,
it's harder to figure out the NFL language with money than it is to find a football guy that can help you scout some talent.
Right. I can find other guys. All right. Let's go on to the Sixers and Daryl Morey. Do you trust Daryl Morey?
Of course. Now that we're laying this all out, though, the Sixers have some very controversial figures from top to bottom.
Yes.
I'm with Morey.
I'm with him also. I mean, think about this. You're bringing in the right players to try to win a championship. That's what you need to do. You need to bring in superstars. He brings in James Harden. I think he's making the right moves. Hopefully they pay off for him.
Yes, 100% trust Morey.
And I also trust Morey. It's not perfect. But we're not looking for perfection here. We're talking about, on a scale, do you feel comfortable with the guy? I feel comfortable with him. Let's move on to one Dave Dombrowski already mentioned, but do you trust him?
Oh, man, he's the greatest. He's just a calming presence.
Yeah.
He's just a calming presence. Guy just gets ball.
He is the most trustworthy guy in all of sports in Philadelphia.
You are correct about that, Jed.
I was going to say the same thing. Yep. So, yeah, I trust him.
Trust him more than he's the only one I have at a. Okay. I put him at 99 because I don't give anybody 100. He's at 99. He is in a video game. He's 99.
Yeah, because he did bring in Odubel. So there's that 1%.
Yeah, but everything about him says, I know what I'm doing.
Of course.
I mean, you look at his track record. He knew what he was doing. Comes in here, and this team was going off the deep end, and he fixed that in a mid-season coaching change. He knows what he's doing.
All-time hire by Middleton. It raised the trust factor by having him. And then the last one, once again, Chuck Fletcher.
I look at all the guys that left here. Brett Brown. All right, Doug Peterson. The moment Doug Peterson walked out of Lori's house in Florida, was it him and Howie had the meeting?
Yeah.
He probably said, thank the Lord, I never have to deal with that again, right? I mean, Brett Brown, the look on his face, it was time to go. There was too much. Chuck, just leave. Chuck, get out of here. There's no way he shows up to work every day going, I'm so happy to be running the show. You suck at your job. He stinks. Get him out of town. I hate him. I can't stand him running this organization.
So that's a very strong no.
You don't
Ricky?
Even have to ask me.
Jed?
Pathetic.
I would say no.
All right.
No.
And it is unanimous no. So far, when it's trust, we did the owner and the personnel person, and we trust the other three, and so far the Flyers, 0-2. I think we have a pattern here on why one team is the worst team in the city, but we will continue this exercise. 610-632-0975 on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, best show ever. 610-632-0975. Boy, a lot of things going on in the sports world right now, some of which I got to be very careful talking about. But, you know, I just want to shout out Chris Paul and say the city of Philadelphia supports you in your tough time. So what are the rules? What are the rules? See, I'm not a real adult. Like, I'm not a real adult, so I don't know the rules. So if you're upset with a man for perhaps having relations with your spouse, what are the rules about, like, how you address it? Do you go to the person man to man, or do you put it on the internet?
I'm going to go with not option two. But, I mean, especially not after you put it on the internet, after you go on a podcast and then say
the most ridiculous
things in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
We can't forget about happened.
But even if you didn't do that, I'm just trying to isolate.
Okay.
What are the rules? See, I'm not a real adult. What are the rules if that happens and you're a regular person or a non-athlete and a professional athlete, maybe a Hall of Fame, a future Hall of Fame point guard, one of the best point guards ever, who only has but one ring, his wedding ring, do you put his ring in jeopardy, or do you address it man to man? I really don't know the rules.
I'd probably have too many emotions going where I'm taking everybody down. If I find out that Chris Paul is doing something with my wife, in this situation that happened on Twitter, I'm saying, because that's what happened.
On Twitter.
Twitter. Everyone's going down. This whole thing's getting aired out, and everybody's going to know.
He's taking everybody down with him. There's no doubt about it.
I'm just saying. How could you?
This is kind of one of those things where you backstab me, now I'm going to rip your guts out.
Because I mean, now you're letting him get away with it,
right.
Basically.
Not if you go handle it with these.
Now,
what happened to that?
Everybody thinks he's out of his mind already.
And then.
Right. Is there any trust there?
If a crazy person makes a literal crazy person, who I have a relative who doesn't want to talk to me because I pointed out that this was a crazy person, makes an accusation towards you. How do you can finesse your way out of it because the person's crazy.
That's right, you can.
But how do you go about it? And then you have to say it and make Jen believe it.
Well, I pull up the podcast from earlier that day.
Well, you really believe this person? That should be enough.
That's what I'm like. Listen, do you know what we're talking about right now?
Would you believe that, Jen?
Yeah, I mean, if I listened to that podcast, I'd be like, all right, dude, I gotcha. I see.
But there's probably a little bit of doubt in the back of your mind, too,
though. Be any doubt.
You're like, well, what if?
Partially because of her.
Sure.
Body,
I mean, that's human nature. Yeah. Yeah, of course. That's human nature.
Okay.
But you can't discount that man has gone off the deep end.
That's a trusting wife over here.
I don't even think that's the way to describe the deep end.
Yeah.
That's not giving enough harsh reality to where this man is now at in his life.
I would call that free falling.
Yeah. There's no coming back.
There's no net where he's going.
I'm just
I am curious if he's just wrapping up people to pull him down, you know, pull down with him. I don't know.
It's just, I'm just saying that regardless of what happened, Chris, thank you for the jokes. You know,
Twitter is a blessing and a curse. And when things like this happen, Twitter is a blessing. In a way.
It's not for him, I'm sure.
No.
Yes, it is. Because all he has to do is say, come on, man. I never met her. I met her sister when I was with Booker.
Well, nah, see, I don't know.
Do you agree with it? Do you think he did something with her?
I do not.
I do.
Really?
Why do you?
Well,
knowing what the Kardashians and who they're always with, how could you put that behind them?
They could probably build a nice NBA roster with a good one, too. Like one that could compete.
All the players at their best.
Well, Chris Humphries is coming off the bench.
Well, you got
CP3.
CP3 and Harden would start.
Lamar Odom.
Yeah, I mean, in his prime, he could really hoop.
You got a team.
Rashad McCants.
This is a squad.
Booker, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, because, I mean, Harden.
Well, Ben Simmons is off the bench.
Ben Simmons off the bench. Well, I guess Ben with the two forwards are Ben and Lamar.
Oh, man.
A lot of versatility. A lot of guys who can bring the ball up.
Is there a coach? Maybe they dabble with the old men. I mean, does Chris Jenner have it? Chris is probably
thinking the mom.
Maybe Kenyon Martin.
Maybe.
Seems like there's all kinds of issues. Whatever those people get into, it turns into issues somewhere else.
Yes.
Drama follows them.
Yes. 610-632-0975. We're doing our trust tree today. Word of the day is trust. We did the owners. We did the personnel guys. And now we're on to the coaches and the managers. The trust criteria, again, 0 to 49. There is no 50. No, and then 51 to 100 means you trust them. It's Football Friday. Nick Sirianni.
So I do trust Nick Sirianni, but I don't know if I'm as aggressive with it as other people. I still have some questions with it when they happen to lose some coordinators because they get jobs. Does it look exactly the same when a new set up? And I'm not saying that he doesn't have a role in this success. He absolutely does, but I still have my questions. But I do trust him. I'm just not as like, man, Nick Sirianni is this masterful genius and I know it and it's set in stone. I don't know it yet, but I do trust him.
I trust him because the players like him and are playing hard for him. I think when you look at a head coach, I think that's the one thing that you have to notice. Are these players playing hard for him at all costs? Answer's yes.
My point to that is you're right. But then I go back to, okay, if that's his thing, that's Nick Sirianni's thing, how long does that last and what does it look like when it runs dry? He is a smart guy, so maybe he does have the knowledge to back that up in other ways. But I don't think this version of Sirianni, the rah-rahness, is what is the 20-year career of the NFL head coach. So what is it when it's
but
not
But are you
that?
Asking the question, do we trust him down the road? Or are you it's asking right, we, now. Right now?
Right now I trust him.
Yeah, see, that's
right now I trust him.
Jen?
Yes, I trust him. I'm there.
I also trust him.
Am I unfair to bring up that side of things?
The goofball stuff? Well, you don't know how he's going to mature.
I don't know.
Goofball got him 10-1.
Goofball got him 10-1.
So I just kind of look at it like that. All right. Doc Rivers.
Wow. As much as I sit here and defend him on nights that he deserves credit, I'm going to go with no. I don't think I trust him enough to get this team to where they need to win a championship.
I'm a 51-49, but I'm going to say yes. Because I think he deserves a lot more credit than he gets. I think this is a guy that takes every bit of the losses, he takes all the blame. Every bit of the wins, he takes none of the credit. So I can't believe that's the truth. I think he proves his point this year.
Jen?
I am also just at 51%, but that is a yes, according to your scale. So, yes.
I'm higher. I'm at about 65-70 with Doc. So, now that goes down as a trust because it's 3-1 on Doc Rivers.
That one's very fascinating.
That's a difficult one.
I also think it's where he's at. If this is year one with Doc, I think I'm going with more trust. I'm just in a very uncomfortable spot with him. I think he gets way too ripped, and he deserves more credit than he gets. But at the end of the day, I just don't know if I feel that strong as I need to.
You know what my theory is? Where else are you going to go? What are you going to do? Who are you bringing in? It's not always the coach's fault.
You are absolutely right, and I'm the first person to say every day that you win your titles because you have Giannis, because you have Middleton, because you have Drew Holiday, because you have Steph Curry, you got Klay Thompson. You win because of the players 99% of the time over the coach, but there's still a percentage that they have in the role, and I'm just nervous with the Doc train.
Got to get to two more before we go to the break, and then Paul talk to Paul Nolan. Rob Thompson.
Yeah.
Thompson.
100%.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, just got to the World Series. And now, John Tortorella.
I think he's... Oh, man, this organization's such a mess. No.
I trust Torts. I think he works these guys hard. What else could he do?
I think he's too old school for where
today is. He does not have a roster. That's not his fault.
He does. I don't like the way he treats the players, though.
This is another difficult one that I'm probably on the 50, 51, 52. So I'm going to say yes.
And I am also going to say no. And the
that's
reason.
A split for us.
Yeah. But since yours was 51, that means it's a no.
Yeah, you didn't want to say
that. Had you said 75 or whatever, no. It would have been a tie. Mm-hmm. You said 51. You're right on the. Ricky's the only one with a strong yes.
Yeah, I'm not a strong yes.
Right, you're a low yes.
Yeah.
And I'm a no, and it's not just because of what you said, which is legitimate. It's also I didn't like when he was on the air with us what he talked about with the fighting.
Oh, yeah.
That was a little strange. I will give you that much. I asked him about the two fights at the beginning of the game, and, yeah, they were showing our intensity. And
yeah, and that, for me.
That was a little odd, but I just think if he had better players, I think a lot would be different.
I agree with that, but I'm only judging him by the person, the situation that he's in. 610-632-0975. On the other side, we'll talk to expert handicapper Paul Nolan from Free Winners here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Best show ever, 610-632-0975. On the line right now from Free Winners, does a great job, expert handicapper Paul Nolan. You should text free to 313-GET-INFO. Text free to 313-GET-INFO. How are you today, Paul?
Tyrone, I missed you last week. I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving.
Same to you and your family, sir, for sure. Now, a lot of stuff going on. We're in the stretch run. We're now in December in the NFL. And on the college side, it is now conference championship weekend starting tonight with the Pac-12 out there in Vegas, Utah versus USC. If they text free to 313-GET-INFO, let's start with the college side. What will they get?
Well, Utah, USC, they'll get that Pac-12 champ tonight, like you said. We got that. It's, we love that game. I think it's super solid. On Saturday, Kansas State, TCU, Big 12, just another great matchup. I mean, so much intrigue there. And then to me, LSU, Georgia, this is really interesting because, LSU is somewhat of a disappointment. That's a hefty number. And then on Sunday, I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to give everybody the best games on the board for free. I'm talking Titans-Eagles, awesome matchup. Dolphins-Niners, another great, a lot of intrigue there with all the personnel changes, coaching knowledge of one another. And then the Chiefs and Bengals, their familiarity. I think it's going to be a great weekend, and I really feel pretty darn good about it. So, I know it's going to sound cheesy, but I swear to God, I was 3-0 on on Thanksgiving. 2-0 on the games, and I hit a teaser bet. And then on the week 12 NFL, the executive club hit everything except the Seahawks. We hit the Panthers, and we even gave that over the air for free. We gave the Chargers and Cardinals over that one. You know, we had the teaser bet on Sunday. Every week we do one. It was Jets and Eagles. And then we had the under on the Bucks and Browns. And then the 3-0 on the free picks. So we really feel like we're rolling. And there's so much confidence right now just because, like, look, you know, it's like when you're – look, it's like when you were a little kid, you get those little Italian ice in the yellow cup and you eat the top and it was, like, dry and you scratch away. It was too cold. Then you flip it over and the good part was at the bottom. This is the good part of the season for us because everything we've been doing around the clock, all the injuries we know, all the people coming back, players coming back, what young players have emerged into like above replacement level player, who's generating a positive EPA. And you know, you look at some of these teams that people have these ugly connotations towards, and it takes a while for recency bias to get removed. So I just feel like there's so many great values this weekend. And, you know, like, you know, the first one I'm looking at is Jacksonville and Detroit. You know, when you're watching this Jacksonville team down the stretch last week, now look, Lawrence fumbled. It was 3rd and 2, and they were on that game-winning drive. And his offense, I can't remember the offensive line, pounced on. Now it's 4th and 5. And he finds Marvin Jones on the sideline for like a perfect pass. Then he hits the seam pass to Christian Kirk. Then he hits the pass to Zay Jones. And then, you know, he closes it out with the Marvin Jones touchdown with the shin down first. And then they go for the 2-pointer for the win. And there's so much bias there, like, you know, about how this team somewhat gets overinflated, in my opinion. You know, there was a lot of mistakes along the way there, but you could see so much growth. And you know better than anybody, Doug Peterson's ability to kind of be a quarterback whisperer, to really get the most out of young quarterbacks is evident. I mean, he really, you know, people will talk about Carson Wentz as an MVP for a little while, right? They can, you know, Nick Foles wins the Super Bowl. He's just one of those guys who has the ability to really get the most out of a QB. And I could just see the way they're in sync there. Jacksonville's success rate on offense is up to 7th in the league. And Detroit's got a decent offense. They're middle of the pack. And then when you look at the EPAs, the expected points added per play, you know, for Jacksonville since November, they're at a 53% success rate from Next Gen Stats. That's an astronomical number for a team that doesn't get a great deal of respect. I set this total at 55. And, it, you know, when I saw it, I saw the number, I jumped all over the over in this one only because I just thought the value was there. These two conference teams are not going to, I just don't see a lot of violence on the defensive side of the ball here. When you look at both of these teams having, like, Detroit's got the Vikings on deck, you know, there's got to be in the back of their mind. Jacksonville's got Tennessee on deck. You know, these teams sometimes, like, defensively, they're not putting their nose in there to tackle with as much violence and as much, you know, hatred or animosity. And, you know, you'll see it at times where you'll see people talk to me and they'll say, oh, man, why did my home team stink so bad last week? And, you know, a lot of times it's because it's just impossible to get up for all 16 games collectively and, well, 17, excuse me. And, you know, I just see both of these teams kind of, you know, just kind of airing it out and playing a little on the loose side. I think we're for a firework treat on this game. I could see this getting into the 60s easily.
So you like the over right there. Just for people listening, you got Jacksonville versus Detroit. They get the over there. Thanks so much there. Paul, now, in the college for tonight and tomorrow, there's two different rematches. You got rematches coming up between Utah, USC, and then also with the K-State TCU. You've been talking about all the analytics that you guys have, the data, that what separates you from the other person isn't just that you have a zest for gambling. It's not just that. It's also because you treat it like a business. You guys are professional about it, and you have the formulas to break that all down. What goes into, if you don't mind pulling behind the curtain a little bit, on rematches where teams have already faced one another, whatever the outcome was, and now you have a new set of situations, new stakes, new everything, neutral fields, the whole shebang. How do you guys go into making the decisions for those kind of games, Paul?
Great question, and it's important. If guys don't want to call and they don't want to be involved, they should at least try to educate themselves on how to get some of the fundamental handicapping techniques in their own repertoire. And I try to always talk about that on my show. Like, you know, watch Mic'd Up. Rewatch every condensed game. You don't have to watch every game for all 22, snap to snap. You know, it takes 45 minutes to do that for each individual game. You know, YouTube gives you condensed versions of the game. You should try that on your own. The mic'd up is great to understand body language on the sidelines. But when it comes to, like, these rematches, so much you'll see. If, let's just say, Team A faces B, and Team A wins by 35 points in an absolute blowout, recency bias will tell them they're gonna, Team A is going to, you know, swallow them whole again. It doesn't usually work that way. If a game goes into the 60s, 70s, 80s, and it goes way over, coaches and defenses take great pride in changing game plan, changing scheme, and then there's an inflation in the line, and, it, you know, more often than not, not perfect, by the way. There's no absolutes to this. But it will go under. It'll stay lower. You'll see a, you know, an inflated total, and you'll see a more conservative game plan. And like for me, what you kind of brought up, and I wasn't going to talk about this game, but you look at the Giants and the Commanders. You know, the Giants, obviously, most people know that they're a team that kind of overachieved, and it's not, it's nothing disparaging. They're trying to change their culture over there, like a lot of teams like Detroit and Atlanta and whatnot. And the Jets for that matter. And now they'll face, I almost said the Commodores again. I keep doing that. You know, I'm a big Lionel Richie guy, by the way.
There you go. Brickhouse.
When I see, like, you know, this schedule, I love what the NFL is doing here. You know, they get the Eagles on deck, and then they go down to Washington. It's like you'll see everybody, whatever happens in this game this weekend with the Giants and the Commanders, you will end up seeing such a difference the following week, because the 2 weeks to prepare, you know, for the Washington with their bye week in between, and you'll see teams are going to complete, they'll play a completely different, they almost treat it like an extension of two different game plans, two different ways to attack, and you'll see whatever happens in the first one of that, I think almost opposite, complete opposite will happen in the next one. That's why I'll probably be off that game this week, and I'll be watching it closely. I'll probably rewatch it 3 or 4 times, just because I know that I'll have a gifted, you know, pick on the other side of it, based on the fact that these teams will have so much familiarity in such a short period of time.
Let me tell you something, Paul. I appreciate this information that you're pouring into us so much. 313, you text free to 313, get info. You get the Pac-12 championship game. You get the Big 12. You'll get the SEC. You'll also get Titans, Eagles, Dolphins, 49ers, Chiefs, Bengals. And just for being on the line, you gave us the over in the Jacksonville-Detroit game. Paul, I can't thank you enough. Once again, if people want to get information from you, if they want to build that relationship with you, you got all the bowl games coming up, you got everything. How do they get in contact with you?
Yeah, look, I'm grateful, man. I'm really grateful for the audience there, and I'm grateful to share the picks. The thing for us is we want you to see more free picks than less, because, you know, one free pick, we win, oh, you were lucky. You know, you lose one, they think you stink, and you get hate mail. Mm-hmm. And so for us, a lot of competitors out there are not willing to put their money where their mouth is, and they'll have customers bet way too much on a game and be irresponsible. I want guys to see my picks for 30, 40, 50 days, a year, 5 years, 10 years, or until I retire, because I know I could beat the number long term. I'll never have anybody ever bet more than 5% on a game of their overall bankroll. And if they text free to 313, get info, I swear to goodness gracious, I'll have a phenomenal week this week. I made 3 huge bets in the NFL, and I made 2 huge bets in college. And whoever wants to know what I bet this week, and just text 313, get info, get started, give us a try, plug free, and hit send, and we won't put you on some death call list. We won't sell your data. We won't share your data. Everything will stay in-house. We promise we'll respect the Fanatics fans and clients and, you know, your listeners. We won't do anything to besmirch your name in any way, sir. And I just want you to know we'll do the right thing, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart.
Paul, freewinners.net. You know, I've been rocking with you guys for many years. Thank you so much, man. Have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you next week as we get closer and closer to the bowl season and the NFL playoffs.
Thank you so much for the love and respect, Tyrone. Have a blessed day.
You too, man. That was Paul Nolan from freewinners.net. You can text them, text free to 313-GET-INFO. 610-632-0975. We've been talking about trust today. Gannon with the run game. And the other part is the Eagles have put us in a place of comfort, which is nice. It's almost like we're swaddled, just nice and swaddled in there, and we're not used to that. It's very nice. It's refreshing, if nothing else. So far, we went over the owners with our trust tree, and we trust everyone but the Flyers ownership group. We went over the personnel I'm talking about collectively.
Mm-hmm.
And we trust everyone but Chuck Fletcher. We go over the coaches, and we trusted everyone but Tortorella. Now, it's not a surprise that the Flyers are struggling the most, and we don't have to trust. They've now lost 11 of 12. So now this next one is challenging because it's up to us to judge ourselves, which we don't always do a great job at. Self-evaluation can be tough. So as a fan base, and when I'm saying trust, I mean that these people look at the games with a sober mind and they're able to be emotional about the game, but not be so wild day to day that they stay under control, because at some point, like, you know, like I know now that I'm older, I have some friends with teenage daughters, and they tell me that the teenage daughter, Jane, you can correct me if I'm wrong, can be a bit of an adventure when it comes to the emotion. Is that sexist to say?
No, I was a little jerk when I was a teenager.
Right. I was told.
What has changed?
Oh.
The last couple days.
Man, shots that. Fired all week from you.
I'm sorry. I went for funny there, Jen.
Oh,
it's not just that, Jed. I mean, he took shots at Kincaid all week. What does he say behind our backs? Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe it's better he's saying them to our faces.
Yeah,
I don't really say much
behind anybody's
back. That's fair.
But, like, with the Eagles game, if they were to lose, would they handle it like normal people? If the Sixers were to lose tonight to Memphis, Flyers last night, etc., Phillies. So I'm asking, amongst the fan base, we'll go to all of the four majors, do you trust, this is the criteria, passionate about the team, but not so passionate about the team that they lose their minds at the first bit of adversity? So we know the baseline here. Is that fair baseline? Eagles fans.
I actually think that they do a good enough job. So I'm going to say, I think we hear from the minority. They're just super loud about it. So when they lost to the Commanders, it got pretty intense. But I think majority of the fans realize that we're still in a good position. We just heard a lot of it from the, you know, from the people who are upset. So I'm going to go, yeah, they know how to control their emotions enough throughout this journey.
Ricky Bo?
Yes, Eagles fans control themselves to the best of their abilities, I will say.
But that wasn't a strong.
Yeah, no.
Strong.
Because I know what happens when they lose. Well, just this year, you can't really. They have one loss.
Is this one?
No, this one is still right now.
Right
yes,
now?
It's right but now. I'm saying, they're fine.
But what if, I'm saying, if let's they, say they lose, are they responding with, oh, we're 10-2, or are they calling for firings on Monday?
Minority calls for firing, but the majority of the fan base can understand where they're at.
Yeah, I'm kind of on that same page.
Jen?
Yes, I trust.
Okay. I'm at 50.1.
Oh, like, wow. That's the smallest one we've got.
Because I could see them, they lose a couple in a row and the sky's falling. I mean, yeah, you can see that happen.
A couple in a row is a different story.
Well, you lose two in a row and... Yeah.
You have one loss right now.
I'll be with them.
Two in a row is not even going to hurt you.
Jen's going to lead the pack, she said.
I'm leading the pack.
I had, like, sweaty palms on that question, too.
All right, so
let's get to the next one.
Sixers fans.
The worst. We are the worst when it comes to the Sixers. Every loss is terrible. Trade everybody. They're awful. They're pathetic. Every coach needs to be fired after every quarter. The Sixers here, the reaction. And look, it comes from loving the team so much, but you got to find a way to balance it more. They are by far the worst.
They are bad. I mean, we saw their little losing streak at the beginning of the season after one or two games. It was fire doc.
And get rid of Embiid.
Yes, exactly.
And
Embiid, that was
it
horrible.
It was get rid of Embiid.
That may be one of the dumbest takes ever. That day where the get rid of Embiid day, that was ridiculous.
I read it on social media yesterday, get rid of Embiid.
That's
and
just
I'm
ridiculous.
Like, come on, people. Yeah, no. Don't get rid of my best friend.
They didn't even play.
It was yesterday.
Yeah. So I have to agree. I have to put them in non-trust.
I guess it was a reaction to the game before, but yeah. Still, come on.
He only had 19 points in three quarters. What are we doing here? Yeah.
It's amazing.
Phillies fans.
I think they're pretty good. Ricky didn't like that answer. Well, the thing is, you guys also didn't like it. I don't feel that tone with Phillies fans. I think they're good.
You trust them.
Yeah, I do.
They're solid fans that don't overreact.
Yeah, and you know why I think that is? Because I think baseball is in a very unique spot.
Or underreact.
I think a lot of the fans right now, or underreact, yeah, you might like that one more because of how strongly you feel on a day-to-day basis with the squad, which I love. But I think it's because with baseball, right now, I feel like if you're on the day-to-day and you're watching the grind, you're a baseball fan. You know, it's a tough sport to casually be a fan, so you don't react as heavily if you're a casual on a 162-game schedule. So that's why I think I lean towards I think we react in a good way, because if you're reacting over 162, you get how the season goes.
I think they react in a fairly good way. My only issue was we weren't seeing fans in the stands in August and September.
Yeah.
That was a little disappointing to me. So I'm at about like 51-49 right here. Okay. That I do believe in those fans.
I'm more at like 75. I believe. Okay. Yeah, I trust.
And I mean, I trust them. It's 51, but I trust them.
But to Ricky's point, are we talking about it because they're not showing up or just their thoughts after the game is over?
Well, for me, it's 51 because of their reaction to losing the World Series. We'll get them next year.
I didn't like that either.
Didn't like that at all.
Which is funny
because it's hard to get back there again.
But how many reactions were we really feeling from passionates?
No, I think a lot of them.
Do you know what I mean?
I think a lot of the passionates were still thinking like,
well, I agree.
Hoagly doagly, no big deal.
We had a midday guy here that was
2-1.
If the Sixers lost in the NBA Finals, you'd think people would be like, hey, I love Doc.
No.
And we'll be right back next year.
Nope.
No shot. So why were the Phillies that way?
I know why they were that way. Because 2007, they got close. They went to the playoffs. They lost. No big deal. They come back the next year to win the World Series. I think they have a firm belief that, well, it happened in 2007, 2008. It's going to happen in 22, 23 now.
Yeah, and that's where the disconnect is. And last but not least, Flyers fans. Do you trust them?
Right now, yes, because they all have their head on the right path here to make sure change is happening. Right now, no doubt I do.
I think you have to trust them. They're always with their team. Whether they're horrible, you know, in the garbage can at times, they're always with their team.
I agree. I trust them, especially right now. Just hearing from the callers, especially the way we did yesterday, that are down on them. And you don't hear that very often from Flyers fans. So I trust.
All right. Well, no, I don't trust
them. Yeah, normally I would say no. I would say no. But now.
To me, they're the least trustworthy fan base, not only in the city, the planet.
Oh, wow.
The planet.
See, I agree with you.
Still supporting them after losing every game forever.
They do support them.
And they support them the exact same way, where they don't demand any quality at all.
Well, now they are, though. That's why I said that right now. It's time.
Are they?
Yes, we heard from them all yesterday. We can hear from them again today.
There were some angry Rickies yesterday calling.
All right. Well, if that continues, fine. But if you're just okay and there's no furniture moving when your team has lost 11 to 12 and it's just like, well, you know, got to support the orange and the black. Let me dust off my jersey from 1988 and bring it out. Like, that's the kind of stuff that I don't care for. We'll talk about this.
Phillies
more.
Made a big move.
Oh, what'd they do?
Jake Cave off of waivers.
610-632-0975. We'll be back. Well, hold on. Where's this? That's terrific. Back here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, best show ever. 610-632-0975. 4 o'clock hour brought to you by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise, online at landisbc.com. Word of the day is trust. We've been talking about this running game coming up with this Titans situation. Because if they stop that, they got the whole thing set up. Now, coming up, though, we have our Fanatic Holiday Wheel coming up. Jen, could you tell the people about the Fanatic Holiday Wheel?
Are we going to have an elf again come bring the wheel into the studio and spin it?
I don't know. Because,
I don't know either.
You know, it's been a lot of cuts. The elf budget.
There used to be a guy dressed up like an elf, and he would come into the studio and spin the wheel.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
But the elf budget.
My guess
the
might
elf
be
budget
that,
is
that,
out.
That budget might out. Have been.
Why'd they do that to Egan?
Oh, you are on it this week. What is wrong with you, Ricky?
I don't know. Did we do something?
I know. Did we rub you the wrong way?
It's almost like the atmosphere you're in is now sparking your brain to be this evil man.
Got a little attitude over there. poor Egan. All right, so the Fanatic Holiday Wheel is back. This year we're spinning the wheel three times a day with John Kincaid at 8 a.m., Gargano at noon, and then with us, the best show ever, at 4 o'clock. You have a chance to win some great prizes, but you have to register at 975thefanatic.com. Starting Monday the 12th, we will start calling names so you can spin the wheel. So you got to go register in order for us to call your name. And then the Fanatic Wheel is brought to you by Rally House. Every wheel spinner is automatically going to receive a $50 Rally House gift card. Rally House, your city, your house, Rally House. Register right now. Go to our website.
Yeah, what are you waiting on to register? We always have great prizes. We isn't always have great prizes.
They are a lot of fun.
Sing that, isn't she?
I told you, I don't sing. You can,
well, you could sing it.
You're the singer of our group.
Yeah, you can sing it.
No fun.
No, now you want to keep your mouth shut.
Yeah, you've been trashing people. You haven't done any.
I haven't trashed any of us.
You did me earlier.
Yeah, you don't count.
Well, see, now this is absolutely there's none of this.
It is what it is.
Man.
Without her pushing the buttons.
No, she is pushing buttons.
Yeah, she's the one that gets us on the air. She's Ricky. Part of the team.
I know.
That's like disrespecting.
It's a Friday. I didn't mean to disrespect any. I'm sorry, John, if I hurt your feelings.
You did not hurt my feelings, but I appreciate it.
It's more about the principle, I think.
That's right.
The situation. The principle. Right. Other situation.
We'll talk. Everybody was free game. I've been going at the Kincaid show all week, I figured I'd take.
Well, we're allowed to take shots at him. Yeah, of course. We will, we'll stand our ground there.
Yeah, he's fair game.
All right, so we'll just stick to that now.
We'll talk to Dave Zangaro at the bottom of the hour about the Eagles, see if we can get an update on some of the injuries and stuff. You know, I was thinking about something during the break. Anthony Gargano, from the Anthony Gargano show that's on from 10 to 2. Said even yesterday that he's still watching this Eagles with no expectations. While I am at the point where if they don't make the Super Bowl, they don't have to win it. But if they don't do at least as well as the Phillies did, I'll be crushed.
I'll be honest with you. My eyes is they got to win it.
I don't know if they're better than the Chiefs. I don't know if they're better than Buffalo. I think they're better than all the teams in the NFC. I can't.
How do you watch a team that has one loss this deep into a season with no expectations?
I don't know.
It's impossible.
Anthony said he's just having this open mind and it's just been fun and it's been free. And I respect and I'm even jealous that he can conduct himself in that
way. Relates to how he watched the Phillies, right? I mean, it's consistent throughout his sports watching, which is how he does it. But I'm with you. I don't have that. It doesn't mean it's right or wrong, but I'm more on your side, which is we gotta get to the Super Bowl. I want them to win it.
Wait a minute. He was going off of his rocker during the playoffs.
Right, but he said that he had no expectations about the whole thing. He's just, que sera, whatever happens, happens. Whatever will be, will be. I am allergic to that. I don't have that in any part of my life. There's always some form of expectation. Even if it's a little like 3-year-old. The expectation is if they ask for some candy or something, that they say please. There's always some expectations with me. There's never no expectations. Hey, baby, at a certain point, sleep through the night. There's always some expectations, even a little bit. Knock on a door. Hey, hold your own bottle. Something. To me, there's always some form of expectation, no matter what I do. And yet Anthony can watch the Eagles with no qualms whatsoever. And I just don't know how that's humanly possible with a sport that's once a week.
I think there's a lot of people who feel that way, though. Like, do you think that where do you think we fall? Because he's definitely not the only person to watch that way. I think that there's probably a lot of people that sit back and go, I just love the fact that football's on and let's see what happens. I don't relate with that. But I wouldn't be surprised if there's a lot of people that do view it that way.
I'll turn on the Hawaii rainbows at 11, 12 o'clock at night, and that's the way I look at that game.
Agreed. Agreed. A college basketball game, if I watch Michigan State versus another team.
That game's
got to
be entertaining. That's why I don't watch UVA, because their games are garbage.
You hate UVA.
Yeah, because the games are garbage. That's not basketball. That is something, but it's not basketball. Like, there's a basketball out there on the floor.
But that's not what they're playing. No, even then. And some people, like Anthony, is not protecting his feelings. That's how he really feels. Many people that say they agree with him are only doing that because deep down, they're gutless. So what they'll do is they'll watch a sport gutlessly so that they don't ever get their feelings hurt. Anthony is not gutless. He really feels that way. Other people are like, hey, whatever happens, it was a hell of a ride, right? Don't come to me with your right. And I wish people would stop putting me in that tough spot. Don't say right when you say something crazy to me, because I'm going to tell you that it's wrong. So don't hit me with the right. No, it's wrong. You didn't have a great ride. If they get to the conference championship game and lose at home, it's disappointing if they lose. It's
devastating.
It's not, they had a great ride. But other people could look at that and go, it was a great ride.
As far as you are going, and I'll say this for any sport, as far as you are going, remember this. At the end of that, if you don't win the championship, you have to wait a full year to get another shot to be where you are. A full year.
Some might not watch with the end goal being the trophy. I think that's flawed, but some might watch for the couple weeks of what we experience at Xfinity Live, what we experience at all these bars while playing the song that everybody was singing. People value those fun, entertaining 2 weeks, and that's their prize.
Well, don't bother then. Mr. Softies.
That's not me. But I just know, I've seen it. I've seen the people jump on board, which is great. That's what makes it so fun.
Jump on board, that's fine, but go to the end. If they don't make it to the end, show some emotion that they didn't make it to the end.
They don't care enough to.
Well, then you know what? That ticks me off. Because that, to me, is just somebody that's fake. Okay, I don't want to see fake. I want to see you jump on that bandwagon, you fight till the end. You don't say, okay, it was a good ride. I'm getting off. This is my stop. See you guys later. You see what I'm saying?
I don't disagree. I still go back to
light
that game five.
Light the fire for crying out
loud. Game five. I thought about it last night. When I saw Zach Eflin sign for $9 billion with the Tampa Bay Rays.
That's the most they've ever paid anybody. $40 million.
I went right back to the flashback of game five. Left all those men on base.
You didn't go back to four?
I thought by now. No, I didn't. Well, I thought by now I'd be over it. Still not over it.
Try going back to four and see how you feel.
Will you get there at some point where you can look back on this Philly season and say, okay, I did have a good time and at least respect the ride?
If they win the World Series.
There's a difference. I still respect the ride.
I'm talking about there has to be, there's going to be, there's a grieving period. There has to be. If you rooted that hard for a team and they didn't get to the top of the pedestal, there has to be a grieving period. If you didn't have a grieving period, which I think we proved right after the World Series, there were a bunch of people that did not have that, then they were not full-fledged in on it.
Well, I can't argue with that. On the other side, I have some news that was just sent to me from one Jason Stark about something that could be happening very, very soon with our Phillies. Stay tuned for that here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, best show ever, 610-632-0975. Shout out to Chris Paul. Time for our question of the day. Phone number 610-771-9705. 610-771-9705. And the question of the day today is what, Jen?
With so many bars opening early tomorrow for the World Cup, are you going to go out and watch Team USA?
Yes. So Team USA tomorrow, 10 a.m. And I found out all over the Philadelphia area, all over, down the shore, everywhere, a lot of bars are opening early to allow people to go out to watch it. I will be watching it, one of them, tomorrow. Will you? Because a lot of people have been watching these games. It can set up for a very good sports day between going right from the soccer into, if you want to watch more soccer, or into a lot of college football important games all tomorrow. So it's a good sports day. And if you played your cards right, you could turn into a very good sports weekend. A lot of things going on. So will you get up and get out to a bar to watch the game? 610-771-9705. Hunter, where are you watching this game?
I'm watching it from my couch. I'm not going to the bar or anything, but I'm definitely setting the alarms, getting the homework, getting a nice good breakfast in me, a nice pregame meal, a nice cup of Joe, if you will. You know what I'm saying? And I'll just watch it like
Nobody cares. What's it with the cup of Joe?
What?
A cup of Joe.
Nice cup of Joe.
It's his thing.
I just tried to make one during the break. It exploded, and now I got to make another.
Well, that's because you disrespected it by calling it Joe.
Maybe. Uh-huh. All right, well, then I'll make a nice cup of coffee.
Oh,
how about that?
God.
Coffee.
But yeah,
coffee?
I'll watch it. I'll watch it home.
There's some coffee.
Ricky Bo.
I'm doing the same because I have a clinic to do tomorrow afternoon, so I got to kind of hang out first. So no bars for me
teaching
early tomorrow
the youth.
Morning. Teaching some youth.
That's very nice.
Good
youths.
For you.
Youths have to learn.
That's right.
I'll be nice to them.
Will you?
Maybe not.
This week, maybe not. Next weekend, maybe.
Shen.
Yes, I'm going out to a bar to watch the game. I will have a beer in my hand at 10 a.m.
I will also be at a bar and have a beer in my hand at 10 a.m.
Will you two be at the same bar?
We might.
We'll be in the same area.
That's true?
Yeah.
Now, is there anything better than like the 9 a.m. cold one?
No.
That's a good feeling.
I have a lot to do, though, tomorrow afternoon, so I've got to have one and then pace myself and then maybe another and then
smart.
A nap and then
yeah, I got to be smart. I got stuff to do tomorrow. But I'm not going to watch the game at home. I have things I have to do tomorrow.
Yeah, this is a special occasion. I'm excited to go out for it.
Four-year type of deal.
Yeah. I mean, why bother having one if you know you pace yourself?
Because it's enjoyable.
You never heard that enjoy in moderation?
Never.
Well, yeah, that's what I don't think
I could have a Coke Zero and be pretty happy with that.
Not as sitting at the bar. See, I feel like
I can pretend it's a rum
that
Coke.
If you're at the bar, unless you have some sort of card designating you a designated driver, you shouldn't be allowed to take up a bar seat and not drink alcohol.
I agree.
Go sit at a table or sit like back there by the shelf or whatever. Don't mm-hmm. be at the bar if you're not drinking unless you announce that you're the designated driver.
I agree.
Short of that, get away from the bar. You can go, you can do what you're doing anywhere. In fact, probably stay home because where are you going to tip on a Coke Zero at a bar? You're not taking care of your bartender.
No.
Give him a buck.
You came, see what I mean? You sit there for 3 hours and give a dollar because you had a Coke Zero. No good.
I never know how to tip because normally I know how to tip. I'm saying I like to put all the money down first on the first drink, but then when I keep going back for more, then I feel like I'm the guy that looks like he's not tipping. But I like doing that method more than to put a couple bucks down throughout the drinks. What's the best move?
See, what you do is you put $100 down to start. 100. And then when you get
all right, money bags.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, well, usually you're buying drinks for more than just yourself.
I need the money, y'all. There's poor people around with your broke ass.
All right. We need to go to the bar.
All right, let's put two 20s down. Is that better?
Yes.
And once, let's say you've already spent 30. Then you got to leave a tip. So, okay, there's your first 40. Then you put more up there and do it again.
Yeah, but see, now it's less cash when paying for drinks. It's more, hey, I'll keep my tab open. And then from
there. Well, then you just do 20%. Unless you're doing Coke Zero, then you have to pay for your time.
Yeah, I don't know.
Almost like you got to treat it like the other kind of club.
I feel like I tip cash, pay for the alcohol on the open tab.
But if I'm paying cash, it's usually like, let's say the beer is $3.50.
Yeah.
Then the extra $1.50 is going to the bartender on every one of them.
Yeah, right. That's what you do.
Well, the place I'm going to tomorrow is cash only. So I have to, I'll go in and I'll put, you know, a 20 up just for me. Like, say it's just me. I'll put a 20 up and then, you know, every beer will come out of that. Then I have to think, okay, how many beers did I have? And then tip on that.
Yeah. Because there's still cash only places, certain places. So you gotta be smart about it. But the question of the day, are you going to go out to watch the game? Are you going to stay in to watch the game? Are you going to skip the game? 610-771-9705. I would imagine all these places are not opening special because they think people are going to stay home.
Really?
I think they think, you wouldn't open if you didn't think there'd be people coming.
I would expect
this was brought to them, I believe. Like the customer saying, hey, are you going to open for the game?
I guess.
Otherwise, because most of these. Matter of fact, very few of these places are going to be open because they got to open at 9 for a 10 o'clock game. They're not open 9 a.m. on a Saturday normally.
Yeah, you're right. You would just think the World Cup is so big that it just happens. But in this country, I guess you kind of have to force your way to a certain spot to open.
Would be open 9 a.m. in England.
Oh, yeah, for sure. 5 a.m.
If you open it at 9 a.m. in Spain, well, yeah, in all of Europe, South America.
No, your land is down in Wildwood.
Yeah.
You walk into a place and say, hey, I need the soccer game on at 10. They're like, oh, your highness, yes.
No, nah, it doesn't work like
no?
that.
No? You got to put in the work? You got to grind?
They're going to do it automatically because they're sportsmen down there.
Yeah, I've seen them post on social media already. We're going to be open tomorrow at 10. We're going to be open tomorrow at 10. Come watch the game.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's already
they're pushing
done.
It. Advertising.
I am not that big a deal anywhere.
I think
really.
You're downplaying that.
Oh, he's completely downplaying
it. He could be the mayor.
Of
you know
Wildwood.
What I'm saying? Oh, my. Yes.
Yeah, he could. Mm-hmm.
Could like, not. You know how they have the Wildwood sign?
Yep.
It might be Tyrone one day.
I think it might be.
I will say that I do love Wildwood, and I do. Get out.
Oh,
I'm
you
down there.
Talk about in the streets.
He's in them streets.
I get out there down the shore. I love it down there. I'm one of those people where if you trash it, you could go ahead and trash my little slice of paradise if you want to, but you're not going to discourage me from going.
That's right.
Because Wildwood's the most perfect place on earth.
I agree.
But that doesn't mean I'm a big deal down there just because I love it. I think people could just feel the enthusiasm coming out of my pores, and that becomes contagious.
Oh, is that what it is?
That is exactly what it is. Yes, that's exactly what it is.
I disagree completely.
That's what it is.
But it's cute.
610-632-0975. Yes, the trust thing. Gannon.
Oh, real quick. Anything on Jason Stark?
Teased. Yeah.
And you had me and Ricky over here at the edge of our seat for the last 20 minutes. You talk ball, some baseball, and we're like, what do we got?
The Phillies will be meeting with all four free agent shortstops before the winter meetings with the hope of getting it done at the winter meetings next week. And that includes both Scott Boras' clients, that's Correa and Bogarts, and also Trey Turner and Dansby Swanson.
That would be a tough thing. What if they want... You know, what if it's a battle between the Boras clients? I wonder how that would work out.
Well,
it depends on what those specific players have elsewhere. You know what I mean? To play that whole leverage game. But I wonder, like, let's say we know that Turner and Bogarts are the ones that keep popping up more because of Dombrowski's relationship with Austin, of course. But talking to all four of them, how much of this is like, hey, let's talk to Correa, Swanson, even if they're not as high on our list. But now when we give somebody an offer like Trey Turner, he knows that you also spoke to Swanson. You also spoke to
Speaking
Correa.
Everybody.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this is our offer now. And you know we have some other options on the table. So what are you thinking?
Well, I think this is also a way to, because so many people have reported, I'm reading this, that Turner is the top option.
Yeah.
That I think they're trying to make it clear that while he may be the top option, he's not the only option. So if you act funny about the money, we have other guys we can go to. Mm-hmm. I think you want to make that very clear, even though they clearly prefer Trey Turner. And just as importantly, apparently, Trey Turner's wife prefers Philadelphia over going up to New York, even though she's from New Jersey.
Now, who's the two Boras clients? It's Bogarts
and Correa.
And
they will be meeting with both of them. And due to Bryce Harper and Reese Hoskins, et cetera, they have a lot of experience dealing with Boras. That doesn't make Mr. Middleton does not blink at a Boras. Some people don't want to go. He doesn't care. Well, how much is it going to cost? All right, guys. I mean, hell, I'm making more money than ever. They legalized the thing they use my thing for. 610-632-0975. On the other side, we will talk to Dave Zangaro from NBC Sports Philadelphia here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
75 The Fanatic.
97.5 Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, best show ever, 610-632-0975. On the Comcast Business Hotline right now, he covers the Eagles for NBC Sports Philadelphia, joins us each and every week, Mr. Dave Zangaro. How are you today, Dave?
I'm good, Ty. How are you, man?
Doing pretty well. Looks like there's some news on the injury front on the defensive line. You could be getting a defensive tackle back, obviously, but in a bit of a surprising move, it looks like a defensive end is out this week.
Yeah, Robert Quinn ruled out, popped up on the injury report Friday with a knee. So he's not going to play in this game. You know, you'd like to say that's going to be a big loss, but he hasn't performed very well since the trade. So I don't really think they're going to miss him all that much. And the good news here is that I think it's fair to say Jordan Davis is probably going to be back this weekend. They have to activate him by 4 p.m. on Saturday to play on Sunday, and all signs are pointing toward that happening.
How do you expect Jonathan Gannon to approach slowing down Derrick Henry?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it, slowing him down. Which, I mean, really, you look at the last two games the Titans have played, the opposing defenses have done a pretty good job. The Packers a couple weeks ago and then Cincinnati last week have slowed him down. I think the easiest answer here, and I think the answer that Gannon will use, is to use that five-man front. And that's where it really helps to have Jordan Davis back, because, you know, they really started the season with one player as that nose tackle, and it was Jordan Davis. Now they'll have Jordan Davis and Linval Joseph, so at least they can rotate it. They can keep those guys fresh. And I think they're just going to have to play a ton of five-man stuff in this game, because it's really been their only answer to stopping run games. And against a player like Derrick Henry, you need everything at your disposal to try to slow him down.
That is true. In the one guy that I want to get your take on is Reed Blankenship. Obviously, came in last game, played fairly well. I just want to get your take on and how he fits in on this club right now.
Yeah, I was really impressed by him, and not just his level of play, but the way he played. You know, you would think an undrafted kid getting his first real defensive snaps in the NFL would be a little tentative. He wouldn't stick his nose in there. But we didn't see that from Reed Blankenship. I mean, he was flying at the football. He was being very physical. That interception was great. He was very aggressive, though. So I think the teams see that. That's on tape now. And if you're an opposing offense and you're looking at this Eagles defense, you're going to see that undrafted kid who has shown the ability and the want to be very aggressive. You got to think that opposing offenses are going to try to take advantage of that, use that in their favor. And look, they're going to miss C.J. Gardner-Johnson. He's been a really big playmaker for them all year, leads the NFL in interceptions with 6. So they're going to miss him. They're going to miss that level of play. But I think the drop-off is less significant now than what I thought before we saw Reed last week.
Yeah, that's definitely good news. They're coming off a historic running game this past Sunday. Titans defense is tough, and they have good numbers against the run, but as Hunter pointed out on the air earlier, nobody else really has the offensive line plus quarterback situation and Miles Sanders situation like the Eagles do. Do you think that they should still be able to run against this team, maybe not to the level that they did against the Packers, but should they still be able to move the ball on the ground against the Titans?
Yeah, to me, that's the most fascinating matchup of the weekend. It's the two strengths here. It's the Titans, who really don't give up much at all on the ground, and the Eagles, who feel confident being able to run the football against anyone. We remember what they did to the Saints last year, that vaunted Saints run defense. They ran all over them. So I think their plan is still going to be to run the ball, but you look at this Titans defense, and at least on paper, they're much more susceptible through the air. They have much less experience in the secondary, and I think that there's more of an opportunity to throw on them than to run on them. And I know that the Eagles just want to do whatever gets them points, but I start to wonder, in a game against an offense that we know is going to run the football in Tennessee, we know they're going to pound the rock with Derrick Henry, even when it's not working, they're going to stick with that, and they're going to hold the ball quite a bit on offense. At least that's going to be their plan. I wonder what the best plan of attack for the Eagles is going to be, because I don't think you want to get in a situation where you're playing the Colts again, and it's real lopsided in terms of plays. So I think that there's something to be said for trying to find the balance, but it might be easier to throw on this team than run against them.
What are you seeing with the special teams unit right now? I mean, basically everywhere they're a mess.
Yeah, and look, the tricky part about special teams is that there's so many different areas of that unit, and the same thing each week. You know, if it was the kick coverage every week, all right, fix that kick coverage. But it feels like every time they get one issue fixed, another one springs up. It's been, you know, bad punt returns. It's been getting beaten on fake punts. And last week, obviously, the kick return coverage was atrocious. You just can't have 250-plus yard returns against you, not in this NFL at least. So that's the most prevalent thing right now. They have to get that shored up. And I think we'll see some changes to that unit. They're going to have to. I mean, you can't run it back after getting burned last week. And look, Nixon is a good kick returner, but I mean, it just can't happen. And it was disrespectful the way it was happening. I mean, he was taking the ball out 6 yards deep in the end zone. That tells you they have no respect for your coverage team if they're doing that. So that's got to be the biggest wake-up call of all.
Yeah, we had the talk about, is this going to be a monster game for A.J. Brown going back against his old teammates? And do you think Nick Sirianni plays into that?
I don't think he does. I think Nick wants these guys to keep their emotions under check, which is a little ironic given Sirianni's fiery nature. He wants his players to handle some of those things a little better than he does at times. He wants A.J. Brown to kind of treat this like any other game, but I think we all understand that it's not. And I think ultimately A.J. Brown would even admit that there's a little extra incentive. Some guys handle that better than others. Rick, you know this, I'm sure. You know, some athletes are able to channel those extra feelings into a positive way, and some guys let it get the best of them, and they press too much, and they try to make too much happen. I think there's a fine balance there. And I understand that A.J. is going to be amped up for this game. And you look at the matchup itself, I think he has the ability to do some damage against those young cornerbacks, especially if he ends up on Roger McCreary, who's a little undersized. So I think they have the advantage there. You just don't want him to try to do too much, especially, you know, watching him the last 2 weeks fumble the football in moments where, yeah, maybe you do just go down there, or at least if you don't, you got to tuck the football and protect it. I would really try to guard against him wanting to do too much in this game, and try to get him to channel it as best he can.
Well, Dave, thank you so much for the input. As usual, be very interesting to see what happens on Sunday before three straight road games. And also, I saw what you tweeted about Quinn. We're going to dig into that more probably after this game, because unavailable and then unproductive when he is playing, I just think that's going to be something to watch. They're going to probably need a pass rush in the playoffs as it goes forward.
Yeah, a long way to go, but so far the early return's not looking great on that one.
Yeah, thanks so much, man. Have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Good.
All right, that was Dave Zangaro on the Comcast Business Hotline, 610-632-0975. It's just something to watch. Like, it shouldn't be, oh, he's out, who cares? It should be, oh, he's out. Oh, man, third down. Instead, it's like,
Well, he's done nothing. I mean, look at his stats from the Bears, too. I mean, he didn't do anything there this year either. So, I mean, yeah, I guess if you're looking at his numbers last year, which were phenomenal, and then you'd say, what's going on with this guy? But, I mean, Bears got rid of him for a reason.
Yeah, well, let me tell you that.
Age and money.
Are you okay with the risk? Maybe the reward isn't what we want, but
yes.
I'm okay logically before we see the result of what they gave up for that type of player.
Yes, my issue is, Howie has been chasing that Chris Long thing since the Chris Long thing worked.
No doubt.
And it didn't work out so well with Bennett, although he wasn't terrible. Kerrigan was a disaster. And now this one looks bad. Like, why can Howie seem that seems to be his blind spot? Young corners.
Oh, yeah.
And that seems to be finding that veteran guy. I mean, he brought Barnett back.
Yeah, he did.
Like, it seems like, I mean, I'm not glad he got hurt, but I'm saying, what are you doing there? So, that's all. Let's take a call before we do find out what's brewing with Jen. Kyle in Nazareth, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
All right. Good. How are you?
Great. I just want to talk about the Eagles-Titans game this weekend.
Yeah.
Cool. So just want to let you guys know from the front, I am a Titans fan.
So what part of Tennessee did you grow up?
I did not grow up in Tennessee. I got family down there. Knoxville.
Right, but you're not from Knoxville.
No, I'm not from Knoxville.
Oh, okay. Well, go.
What are you thinking? What's on your mind?
Well, one thing I just want to mention, who was the last guy? Was it Dave Sengaro?
Yes.
Sengaro, that's from NBC Sports Philadelphia. Mention,
one thing he did not bring up was going to be the return of our center, Ben Jones, which is obviously a big ignite for the run game.
Maybe.
From that point, I mean, I still love AJ. He's going to definitely tear us up on the outside. That's the way to beat us. Defense has been stout. Just keep an eye on 98 and 51. 51, David Long. He's going to be the spy on Jalen Hurts. Last week, real tough week tackling, but, you know, defending coach of the year, Vrabel, he got them back in this week, really focusing on tackling, keeping, you know, hopefully that works out good, but it's going to be a good game, too even. I think they're pretty much evenly matched.
No, one team's 10-1, so not evenly matched.
But, not record-wise, but on the field, I mean, I don't know how many Titans games you guys watched this year, but they're a tough team. They play good teams tough.
Probably the same amount you should have watched. Where did you grow up, Kyle?
Pennsylvania my whole life.
Right, so you're in Pennsylvania your whole life, so you had the Eagles and the Steelers available to you. And because you know somebody that lives in Knoxville, you picked the Titans as your team?
Yeah, well, the whole family pretty much supports the Titans, so...
Right, but I'm saying even the people that you grew up, the house you grew up in?
Yeah.
So they rooted for the Titans.
Correct.
Even though when they were kids, the Titans didn't exist.
That's right. They were down there in Houston.
They were down in Houston? Oh, sorry. Yes, that's correct. I knew that.
When they moved over to Tennessee.
Correct.
Right. Thanks for the call, Kyle. Have a good weekend.
And by the way, don't bring up the spy on Jalen Hurts because we saw them try it last week. How'd that go?
Yeah, the only thing I agree with him here is I think the Eagles are going to have their success with throwing the football, and that might be when we come in here on Monday and we talk about what happened. It's targeting some of those DBs and their corners, and not that they can't run the football. They'll be able to, but I think the explosiveness in the offense is really going to shine from what they can do in the passing game.
Yeah.
Big dose of A.J. Brown.
Titans fan. All right, well,
hold on. Wait a minute. I was not born in Columbus, Ohio, but I'm an Ohio State fan because I have family in Ohio.
College is different.
From families and all that.
Say you didn't go to Georgia Southern and you went to Georgia.
Yeah.
Then you would not be allowed to do that.
To be an Ohio State fan.
Like Penn State fans have to root for Penn State.
Yes, I guess.
But
that.
If you went to Bloomsburg, you can pick whoever the heck you want. That kind of thing.
Like okay.
Georgia Southern, you can pick whatever. If you went to Georgia... No.
I gotcha.
Yeah, bro, you grew up here.
I get it.
You'd be rooting for the Eagles.
I gotcha.
Okay, that's the excuse people use to be racist. Well, my daddy was.
Oh.
Well, you can do better. Now it's time for us to step aside and find out what's brewing with Jen.
Oh, goodness. All right, I'm going to follow that up. All right, we're going to start in Mississippi. Mississippi is turning into Alabama and Florida all of a sudden. Mississippi. A man has been arrested after he reportedly bit off another man's nose in an argument over a golf game.
See, if you wanted
Holyfield and Tyson playing some golf.
You wanted Kanye and Chris Paul to square up, someone's nose would have been bit off.
Probably.
Imagine that maybe that'll snap him out of his problem when Chris Paul beat him up. Anyway, we shout out to you, Chris Paul. We're supporting you, Chris.
That's right.
We got your back, Mr. Paul. Golf. So these are supposed to be highbrow people.
Right, supposedly.
They bit a guy's nose off.
So he was a Biloxi resident. He's 51 years old. His name is Mark Wells. He's been charged with one count of felony mayhem. Felony mayhem. I mean, it's a felony. That's bad.
That would cause mayhem.
Yeah, that's crazy. So he argued with an unidentified victim all day over a golf game they played earlier. He reportedly grabbed the man's head, chomped down on his nose, and ripped it off. And the man's nose was not recovered.
What did he do with the nose?
I don't know.
He either ate or threw it in the pine straw or something.
Definitely ate it.
Oh, I don't want to know that.
Definitely ate it. Well, I watched the Jeffrey Dahmer doc and then was like, you know what? Maybe there was something to the taste of the
news. By the way, this is a premeditated felony crime committed with intent to kill.
Mayhem? That's what mayhem means?
In which the suspect mutilates, disfigures, disables, or destroys someone's tongue, eye, lip, nose, limb, or another body part.
I mean, they had to make a law for that. You know what I mean? Like, they had to specify that. Oh, goodness.
Mayhem.
All right.
I mean, not only did he bite off, he spit it somewhere or ate it or swallowed it.
It was
messed up. It's messed up.
You don't get more time for eating it compared to spitting it out.
I wonder, though, if they could have found it, would they have been able to put it back on?
I guess it depends on
the victim's face. Right back on.
A lot of soft tissue there.
Yeah.
But now you just figured a man. And now and now you can't even go home to the wife and say, you should look at the other guy. You don't have a nose.
Look at the other guy.
Well, you can say that. If you got a black eye, you can say, yeah, but I won't.
You're not going home.
Well, she'll come see you in the hospital.
Yeah, you're going to the hospital.
And you got, that's terrible.
I know. So the man went to jail, obviously. He was bailed out within an hour, but he does face up to 7 years in prison if he's convicted.
He needs to get the max.
Yeah, I
agree.
Over
a golf game?
Bailed out eating somebody. Man. He got bailed out of jail and he ate somebody.
We're not sure that he ate the nose.
No, it does show you, though, the justice system is messed up. You got people in jail for much less than biting a man's nose clean off.
That is very
with
true.
With no bail.
Probably for more than 7 years.
And they were probably buddies before the golf match.
Right.
Now maybe
so. Now, and unfortunately, you have to try to get revenge if you lose your nose.
Yeah.
You can't just sit back and let the justice system handle it.
Mm-mm.
No, because you bailed out. You're not making it to trial now.
Do we know what they
tried
shot?
To kill me.
You know what they shot that day?
I told them.
As you go, hey, at least I shot
an 80.
An 80.
82.
What did I shoot? I don't have a nose.
What did I don't think he really cares about what he shot after that.
Hunter does.
Got a nose.
It might, over there.
Nose.
It might affect the handicap.
Hunter.
Okay, it might affect his handicap.
Yeah. His handicap probably
Good
already
Jesus.
Stinks.
Come on.
But that,
all right. Let's move on to Wisconsin.
Okay.
A black cat whose name is Burnt Toast.
Burnt Toast? Yep. That's a good name.
I think it's cute. You know how cats sometimes, if they're outdoor cats, indoor outdoor cats, they'll bring home a mouse maybe and put it on the front step.
That's tribute
maybe
it's a tribute to the owner.
Well, Burnt Toast was a little bit more proactive. Burnt Toast brought home an entire alligator head. And left it on the doorstep.
An alligator head?
And in Wisconsin. I guess it was in a lake or a lake, right?
I don't know. I didn't know there were gators in Wisconsin.
I didn't know either. So,
too cold.
So that was my first thought. I was like, where did this alligator come from? So the Department of Natural Resources is saying that it could have been somebody's pet that got out.
That's probably what it was. And then froze.
And they
literally,
don't,
and then somebody went to eat it once it froze.
Yeah.
Because
the cat found it.
Yeah, because if they're not dead, they go into that state or whatever once
frozen.
The weather.
That's like a coma.
Like a sleeping state.
Yeah, like those iguanas and stuff that fall down when it gets cold in Florida.
Yeah.
Well, they just would go, if they were outside, they would go in that pretty quickly with Wisconsin weather.
Right.
So they wouldn't necessarily be dead. But tell that to predators that are really hungry.
To a bear.
Right. Something big enough to bite the head off. And then the cat drags the head.
Oh!
I mean, the heads are pretty big. They said the alligator was probably around 3 feet long.
It wasn't that bad.
But still, for a cat, probably.
Well, the cat could have eaten it.
So the head's probably
if it was
foot.
Only 3 feet, it doesn't mean it had to be
cat
huge.
Like the cat could have
come upon it already dead.
And the thing's already in that state.
Yeah.
Even if it wasn't dead, it was dead.
Right.
It get a chance to wake up.
But the cat brought
cold blooded.
Maybe the cat was probably so proud of itself. Like,
sounds
look
like a
what
scene from
you.
The Godfather.
Like, all you fellas out there that living with a woman who you don't like, you think she's cold blooded, you just turn the heat down and she'll stop being as mean to you. Cold blooded. Not my fault.
Not my fault. All right. This story makes me very happy, not only because it involves Waffle House, but it's a nice story, too. I'm a big fan of Waffle House, those of you that don't know. So this was in Alabama, and our last story ends in Alabama with a nice story. A group of women have banded together for the last, they did it last year, they did it this year. They're planning to do this every year. They're going to go to a random Waffle House. They're calling it their Friendsgiving. They're going to pick a different Waffle House each year. They all throw in $100. They're going to go have breakfast at Waffle House, which isn't going to cost very much. And they're going to tip that $100 that each one of them put in to the waitress. So they did it in Alabama. The tip was $1,125 on a $75 bill.
Wow.
Yep. And
so that means it was, how much did you say?
There were 11 ladies. They all put in $100. Yes.
Yeah, that's great.
Yep. So their bill was $74, and they tipped $1,125.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So, and they said they're going to sit wherever, like when they walk into the restaurant, they're going to sit wherever the waitress or the server sits them. so that way they're not being biased or anything like that to their server that's going to get that tip that day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so we should do this as a show.
Okay.
With $50.
Okay.
$50 each, cash. We'll go to some place that's intentionally not expensive.
Okay.
And then that person will end up with $150.
Yeah.
I would do the Waffle Hut. Waffle House, love it.
We'd have to drive to Reading for that.
I know, but I love Waffle.
We'll go to like a diner.
A diner, yeah.
Get breakfast, and then we'll do that.
I love that
somebody
idea.
Somebody will come out with ahead, $150 ahead.
I love it.
Perfect. For the holiday.
We'll do it.
Yeah, I didn't want to put pressure and make everybody do 100, but I think 50 is fair.
I think that's wonderful. Yeah.
So we'll do that between now and Christmas.
And we can also make it an annual event.
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, yeah. I really love stories like that.
I know. It's really nice. So Julia Ellison was the Waffle House waitress who received the tip. She said the money's going to help provide her children over the holidays. So her children are going to have a nice little Christmas.
That's good.
There you go.
Isn't that a nice story? Way to go, ladies.
Yeah, that's enough to get the kids the PlayStation on the splurge.
Yeah.
And then still buy the clothes, the need stuff, the clothes, and the shoes, and this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
That's great.
That nice?
It's good we started with the ripping of the nose.
I know.
Because if we went from that to the nose biting, it's a whole different storyline.
Well, yeah. That's why I put them in that order.
How can you let that guy outside?
I don't know.
Yeah, how do they let him out of jail? I don't get it.
Listen, I believe sometimes that you got to defend yourself with fists.
Yeah.
Or maybe a kick or something.
Yeah.
When it comes to, like, the biting should only be for, like, life or death situations. Like, if you feel like you got to bite to not
die. Yeah.
You shouldn't just, if you're fighting a person man to man, it shouldn't lead to that.
Yeah.
Come on, we got to be
it's
better.
Almost
than
like
that.
He was hungry and he was going to eat the nose.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. We don't need people acting like that. All right, Ivan and Octavius, that's a hell of a name. Both names. Ivan and Octavius, strong names. In the 5 o'clock hour, we'll have our question of the day, our football picks, our fearless predictions, all of that in Football Friday on the Fanatic are presented by Pump Man Philly. Need a water pump expert for your facility for 24/7 emergency repair or pump replacement? Count on Pump Man Philly, the guys to know to fix your flow. We'll be back on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yes, working for the weekend. 610-632-0975. I just got paid, didn't make it over. The new system.
Oh, no, it didn't?
Nope, didn't play in the 4 o'clock hour when it would have played.
You probably knows I didn't get paid because it went right to the credit card.
Oh, I think I know why.
All right. Well, 5 o'clock hour. Brought to you by Guided Door and Window. Received 20% off all windows and doors with no money down and up to 3 years to pay off. Interest free. Call Guided Door and Window today at 1-877-GO-GUIDE or visit goguida.com. Word of the day is trust. And I see the people online. There's also Philly stuff going on. They're going to meet with, according to Jason Stark, all four of the big free agent shortstops. That guarantees just because of the money that they'll get one of them, which we already knew. But it's refreshing to know that it's what we thought was happening is going to happen. We thank Jason for that.
Absolutely. I mean, I didn't know if they were going to speak with Carlos Correa. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had no idea.
I think if you're doing your due diligence, you got to talk to all of them. Plus, you have to see if you have to find out if it's just money or if there's other things motivating them. If there's something else motivating them and you can save money, that might be ways for you to help your team in other areas. Might be.
Well, Correa, they have to have a pretty good idea of what kind of number he wants because he opted out of his contract.
Well, he signed that deal where there was an opt-out after every year in Minnesota because they
unreal.
Knew it was a one-year rental.
Right. That's unreal. I mean, but hey, it is what it is for him, so you know exactly what you have to pay him if you're bringing him in. I think it's also for the Phillies is getting a feel of who would fit. I mean, quite frankly, you know, it's not always about the player fitting the team. Sometimes it's about the team fitting the player.
Right, so you do your due diligence and then you find out that you talk to Trey Turner and all of a sudden you find out something you didn't expect or something. You had, all right, well, we got to move on from him. Let's move on to that. And then
the number.
Yeah.
The number might be the thing they didn't expect.
Yeah, I'm paying them the number. But it could also be other stuff other than the money. Or your evaluation staff says, yes, he's good, but not $4 million more per year good or $5 million or whatever it might be. So that's going to be interesting. Sixers play tonight at Memphis. Going to be a tough game tonight again without Harden and Maxey, but Harden should be back on Monday.
That's an X for DeAnthony Melton.
Yeah,
right?
No, he's going to ball.
Yeah, he's got that. Yeah, that's the X relationship that we kind of went through throughout the week with A.J. Brown in Tennessee.
Yeah, and A.J. Brown facing his old team. A lot going on in Philadelphia sports. And then, of course, Team USA versus the Netherlands tomorrow. And you, and just so you know, I saw this online, you can't do Pennsylvania Dutch.
What do you mean? You can't be a Pennsylvania Dutch and root for the Dutch?
No, somebody was saying, oh, it's like the Pennsylvania Dutch. But as I saw and then Googled, the Pennsylvania Dutch were German.
Are actually German, yeah.
So no, you can't do it. I'm just saying, you know, people are going to try to be cute, especially if they get a 1-0 lead about 10:15 in the morning. There's going to be people trying to get cute with their little things. Do anything but Pennsylvania Dutch. That doesn't fit because they were German. And Germany didn't make it to the round of 16.
They got knocked out.
Although the Euro Championship is there and already apparently people are saying they're going to be the favorite. They just didn't play the younger players. I guess it was a stubborn. Doc Rivers was coaching. So they didn't play any young guys. It's a joke. Ivan at Cape May Courthouse, as we go back to the foes, you're a 97.5 Fanatic. What's up, Ivan?
Hey, Ty. Hey, how you doing, guys?
All right, how are you?
Love the show, man.
Thank you.
I don't really have a whole lot to talk about. It's just the fan thing. I'm a fan of the Phillies, and you were talking earlier about folks that just kind of, well, they didn't expect them to get that far. They didn't expect them to get to the World Series, and, you know, we should be happy. And that's a bunch of baloney, and, you know, that's the kind of, I don't know, loser talk, if you ask me. But I am curious to see what happens in the winter meetings. I just was devastated over the whole thing. I got gout. I got kidney problems, and the whole year was just, it was terrible. No, I mean, it was fun. I had a good time. I love watching the Phillies, but it takes a lot out of me. And I had to quit drinking.
Yeah,
so, like,
man,
if you're ever down here in Wallace.
I don't know if you should be down, if you should be watching sports. What I'm saying is, like, we appreciate the call and everything, but if it's going to put you through that, I'm being serious. If you can't process the stress, I don't want you to, like, get sick. That gout is extremely painful.
Yes, it is. Yes,
I know. I don't want you to be in real pain over this. Like, this is figurative. No, actually, no, it's real pain for me. But I'm not physical pain. I mean, it might shorten my life, but, like, I feel great while I live.
Yeah, I mean, it was just to me, there's a grieving process, and it took a lot out of me. I didn't realize it was doing that. I really didn't. I didn't realize it was taking so much out of me.
Right.
At the same time, but, you know, like I said, if you're ever down here in Wildwood, I heard you talk about being down in Wildwood. If you're down here in Wildwood, man, I'll come out and have a beer with you.
I'm down there.
Every
all
day.
All the time.
Every day.
I'll be around this weekend, Ivan. Thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good weekend.
I am also in Wildwood all the time. I will be there this weekend as well.
But somehow, you know what? I think he overstepped.
Sounded very desperate.
You go to Dewey. I am also there. You mix in some other spots, but. Ty is Wildwood.
I love Dewey as well.
Jen, I'd be a little offended by that. I don't like places. I didn't like Hunter's tone there at all.
Oh, this guy.
I mean, he's got,
did not like that tone,
it's
Hunter.
It's not going to work with Ricky, unfortunately. It's not going to work.
Not today, Ricky.
Not
I don't know where that came from, Hunter.
No.
Come on.
I'm embarrassed.
Yes,
I am. I'm embarrassed.
But 610-632-0975. In all seriousness, if you're really dealing with a lot of health issues because of sports, man.
Turn the game off for a while.
Kindles are nice. You read books right there in your hand. They're really good. Probably less stressful.
I don't know if I can erase sports from my life, even if it is doing damage and
it's embedded.
I don't know if I could.
I think I could.
If it was doing physical damage to your body?
I could.
I'm not, at least, thinking about stopping.
Like, let's say the doctor was like, listen, you having heart, kidney, whatever, real issues due to the stress from watching sports. Yeah, I'd stop.
I guess I would probably be forced by loved ones to comment.
I could find a way. So you're going to die?
I guess.
What do you mean?
I couldn't go.
If the doctor
sports
said,
is way too much of my part of my life, I couldn't do it.
You could do. All right. The doctor says.
What would I do? What would you watch?
Okay, you can keep baseball, but you got to give up all the other sports or you die.
No, see, you can't because baseball is what causes him the most stress. So you can't
watch everything else but baseball.
Know.
Otherwise,
that would be a long summer. I could go golf all summer. Hold on.
What if you find out that, wow, Dad, I'm getting married, and I want you to walk down the aisle this summer, and this is like January,
and they gave you 6 months to live if you keep watching sports, and her wedding's in July.
So I'd have to not watch sports. I would do that for my daughter.
It's a good answer. It's a good answer, Ricky.
All right.
We're just testing.
There you go.
Good answer.
All right. It's a very good answer. It's very good.
Thank you, Hunter.
We're proud of you.
It's the first thing you've very said good all day today.
That's right.
Yes, that is, yes.
And that was all that was all part of the plan.
I've had enough of all of you right now.
Octavius in Lancaster. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Octavius?
What's up, Ty? How you doing?
Well, how are you?
I'm doing great. I love your guys' show. We got to take that question mark off of it.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Because you guys are the best show ever.
Thank you.
At the same time, I'm tired of these Cowboys fans.
Well, they bother
not just
you?
These Cowboys fans, but the ones who are in this area. Like, how are you a Cowboys fan in this area?
Like a home
make it make sense to me. Like, who raised you?
Well, it's either it's people
terrible,
who are...
It's terrible parents.
It is. It's uneducated parents. Or it's like, the fact
what
that...
What are you doing to these kids?
Yeah, they wanted to
are
be
you
different.
Serious?
I don't know.
Or like, who raised you? Honest to God. Are you serious?
No, I agree. And they're sitting there with their Lakers jackets and their Duke hats, their Cowboys jersey. They're the worst. I'm telling you, they're the worst people on the planet. Well, second worst behind Kanye's.
The worst.
They're the worst.
The worst. Yeah, but, like, if you don't cut me, do I not bleed green? Come on, now. Like, you in this area, if you can't show out love for the birds, what are you doing?
I agree with you.
Like, these people, they call up and they say whatever they want to say. It's all cool. It's all fine and dandy, whatever. But what's our record? They hate on us, but what's our record? It speaks for itself.
Well, they don't. That's the thing, Octavius. The tough part is you're dealing with unreasonable people with reason. I've realized that you don't reason with fools. You don't realize with morons or crazies. And every single local Cowboys fan is a fool, a moron, and also crazy. And thanks for the call. Have a good weekend. And that's the problem. You can't reason with people who are unreasonable.
Did we have a Cowboys caller today?
No, he's talking about his own personal life.
Oh, man, that poor S.O.
Yeah, he's at work, and he's dealing with these guys from here that are Duke slash Lakers slash Yankees slash Cowboys fans.
Lancaster, that's a terrible split area as it is.
Right, you're dealing with that. All right, Charles, you'll be first on the other side. We'll re-rack the question of the day here on 97.5 The Fanatic at NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Best show ever, 610-632-0975. Where today is trust. We went over it, and everybody got a nine. Well, only people that got any non-trust were the Flyers got 3 and the Sixers got 1.
Yeah, Doc.
No, was it the fans?
Oh, the fans.
Doc got a trust.
That's right. But I have my concerns.
Yes, but the majority ruled.
That's right.
There.
I think it rolls with how the teams are doing, obviously. And everybody can't stand Fletcher until he's gone. Nobody's going to have any consideration to even give them any trust.
Yeah, what is he doing? I don't know what he's doing or what his plan is. But we have our question of the day. Once again, the phone number is 610-771-9705. 610-771-9705. Jen, what is the question of the day today?
Since so many bars are opening early tomorrow for Team USA, are you going out to a bar to watch the game?
And the way I look at it is this. If somebody enjoys morning or day drinking, and they usually do it alone, now you can go out even if you don't care about the game, and no one will judge you. You pop by somebody's house with a cup of coffee, because nobody has Joe under 50, and they got a Michelob. It's not you might judge them. Maybe like people would judge you.
It's a great feel. Saturday afternoon drinking is just a phenomenal.
This is morning.
I love it.
I know, but you're right. This is morning. But just in general, there's something about when it's the springtime and it's finally nice. It's awesome. But even when it's winter and there's college football on and it's that time of the year, Saturday noonish and some cold ones.
Well, think about this. You go on a vacation to a tropical place. You don't wake up and have a
of course
mimosa or Bloody Mary. Hell yes.
Yeah. I won't go Bloody Mary.
I don't do Bloody
Mary. Well, it was funny. It was funny.
I'm meal talking, in a cup.
My steak in a cup.
My daughter, Olivia, is going to the game Sunday at the Link. And she, last night, the question she asked me, what bars are open for 10 a.m. on Saturday morning?
She's
for the
thinking straight.
Game.
That's
good. She, well, for the time being, yes.
Smart woman.
Yeah, but I mean, 10, 1 o'clock game, then 3 more hours of dad's money. Right now, I'm making
you pay
my,
for that.
I didn't say anything about tomorrow. I said, I'll probably head over to Link with her on Sunday.
But it's gonna be fun. So 610-771-9705. Are you gonna stay home or are you gonna go out and watch the game? Charles in, as we go back to the phones, Charles in Westchester. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Charles.
Hey, how you doing, Ty?
All right, how are you?
Good, thank you. Great show, guys.
Thank you.
Hey, I just want to talk with Jen. I met her mom down in actually Tennessee back on November 11th. Real funny story. I'm getting breakfast at the hotel. I'm, getting breakfast for rolling out to Alabama. And ladies in line, I'm in line. I got on the Drexel hoodie. She's like, where's that at? And I said, Pennsylvania. She's like, my daughter, works for this radio station in Pennsylvania. I said, oh, which one? She's like, and I said, 97.5. So, yeah, I know to watch, listen to the show. So we chatted up. She's a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. She asked me if I was an Eagles fan. I said, bite your tongue. I'm from Massachusetts, so I'm a Patriots fan. But so long story short, I'm sitting down with her at breakfast, and my wife comes down, and the look on my wife's face, like, okay, all right, who is this woman, basically? And, my wife, she could understand why I was kind of eating breakfast with a sort of a strange lady. But nice lady. I told her I'd call in and say hi, and, and I listened to the show, and that you guys run a great show.
Well, thanks, Charles.
Appreciate it.
Like, what are the odds? Think about that, though. The odds that you listen to this show and then you go sit down and
in Tennessee.
We were in Cleveland, Tennessee.
Cleveland, Tennessee. My mother was in Cleveland, Tennessee
going
in November.
On a train ride.
She on tour?
She was on a train, yeah.
On tour?
She on tour.
No, she's on tour.
Is that your tour? Your girl's tour?
Yeah. Heading on a train out to Vegas to go to the casino to sing.
Yeah, like a lot going on. Well, thanks so much, Charles. Have a good weekend, buddy. That was pretty nice.
How about that?
Yeah.
That. My mom will talk to anybody, too. Like, she just loves to talk. She makes friends wherever she goes.
See, I wish I was one of those people.
Yeah.
I'm not that good.
How about that? She was in Cleveland, Tennessee with her brother. They went to go take a train.
And you're sure it wasn't on tour to meet up with
any
record execs or anything
like that? She was not going on tour, to go sing in a choir.
You just casually dropped that she tours, not only in this country, in other countries.
How do you meet somebody in Cleveland, Tennessee?
Wore a Drexel hoodie.
Yeah.
That's unreal. Like,
I'm surprised
Cleveland,
she didn't.
Tennessee.
She didn't recognize Drexel from being from Philadelphia. I'll have to school her on that one.
Or maybe she did, and that's why she was like, hold on a second.
Right, maybe.
You know what I mean?
Maybe there's another Drexel. Because sometimes there's schools with,
could be, yeah.
Like Miami. You got Miami of Ohio just sitting there. What the hell is that?
They got a D1 hockey program.
Well, it's in Miami,
Ohio.
Yeah,
and football and everything. Yeah. Go there? Roethlisberger.
Oh, did he?
I believe.
Is that where he went?
I mean, this is
did
off
he go
the
to
top.
Miami of Ohio?
I thought he did. I could be wrong. I could be wrong.
Well, if my mom's listening, she'll enjoy the story we just had. I'm sure
school?
She'll be able to tell
Miami
you.
Miami of Ohio. Oh.
There you go.
You got it all.
Listen, I mean, that was luck. But I kind of remembered. I did kind of remember because that was the question of, was that big enough school to draft a quarterback in the first round, blah, 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 at the time, and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah. You never know. Maybe she thought there was another Drexel. But there is a small world. And then meanwhile, you got people out there looking for their soulmate, and they're searching high and low.
High and low.
Maybe you should just start looking closer to home.
Grab a train in Cleveland, Tennessee.
And boom, you might meet that person and live happily ever after.
The pictures from that trip were beautiful.
It would look nice.
Maybe he's in it somewhere.
He might be.
Oh, man. I know that this next call is going to be problematic.
Oh, no.
610-632-0975. Aura in Huntington Valley, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Aura.
Hey, Ty. Just to let you know, my daughter went to Duke about 20 years ago, and Coach K, who's now retired, would bring pizzas to the students who were tenting. They would pitch tents before big games to get the
privileged
free tickets like UNC.
Yeah. Privileged.
Yeah. And my tennis partner's daughter also went to Duke.
Privileged.
Hold on. Your tennis partner's
daughter tutored the also, Duke basketball players.
Privileged.
He took their education very seriously. Very That's privileged. All I want to say.
Hold on. You called in to defend yep. Coach K?
Yes.
Millionaire why? Coach K?
Why?
Retired with the most wins in NCAA history?
Like, why? K? Why did you feel the need that you had to defend him?
Well, he has certain qualities that are, you know, positive.
What did the most positive thing is that he is now retired.
Did you hear someone say something negative about Coach K?
No, you were just... You felt it coming, didn't you? Stature, so I thought
right,
I
Duke
just...
fans, Duke fans are terrible. They're front running, miserable. They're terrible. Duke fans are terrible. Like if you like Duke, usually you are the ultimate front runner. Now you're giving one specific exception in your daughter, and that's very nice. And I'm not saying your daughter. I don't even know if she roots for Duke like that. I'm saying. That she would be rooting for her alma mater, and you're rooting for your daughter's school. Have you not ever met a Duke fan who didn't go anywhere near Duke?
Probably not, but I don't know that many.
How is it possible right, that you've never met a Duke fan who hasn't, who didn't go to Duke?
If you look at 99% of Duke fans didn't even step
That's
foot
a
anywhere
small
near
school.
Duke.
Yeah, they don't even know where the school is. The only reason they know about North Carolina, thanks for the call, is because they see the tent thing and they show, oh, blah, blah, blah. Like, Duke.
I'm if not, one of my kids went to Duke, I would probably start rooting for Duke.
I would not.
I would.
That's how little I like Duke. I would still root against him.
I'm a UConn basketball fan, and I have a hard time even.
So let's say Brooks Jr. is playing hoops at Duke.
Yeah, I'm not rooting.
I'm going UNC.
I am.
Absolutely.
Come on.
I am. If you're.
Go Heels.
Oh, my God. Oh, what I love to little Brooks to be growing up hooping, and then he commits to Duke. And then I'm wearing a North Carolina hoodie on the show on his signing day.
I'm telling you right now.
Right now.
There's something he's not telling us.
No, it's not.
A little Broads, you brought up a child all week this week.
I'm just saying. I mean, it takes time to, right. To happen.
And yes, well, if it was, he
can tell
say
us in about 3 weeks.
12
huh?
weeks. Anyway.
Right.
That's right.
Come on.
That was my whole have point. Thank you.
Let's have a little.
Decorum,
please.
Absolutely not.
All not right? from Ricky.
But bottom line is, that's true. We wouldn't be invited to the baby shower.
That's
anyway.
Right. And even if it was all girls, I'm not getting an invitation.
No way. We're not going to be able to go. But yo, I can't wait. Bros Junior's signing day. He's got like all his hats. He's got UConn hat. He's got a UCLA hat. North Carolina hat. Duke. And he picks up the Duke, and then I show up with the Carolina everything. The studio is all blue. We are not doing Duke on this program ever. We will have our question of the day and more of your phone calls, 610-632-0975, and our football picks on the other side on 97.5 Fanatic NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic. 97.5 The Fanatic.
NBC Sports Philadelphia. Best show ever, 610-632-0975. So what's better, this or the Eagles' Christmas song from earlier?
1,000% this. Step into Christmas?
I guess you just don't really love the Eagles that much. I didn't know.
I like it, but this is better.
I didn't get a chance to tell you my artist for Christmas time.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Bublé.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah.
No, that is Michael Bublé
Christmas. Now we're talking.
Did you watch his special the other night?
No, I didn't. I don't care for him now. I'm just saying. If I'm going Christmas
You recorded
music,
it, didn't you?
No, I did. What's wrong with the nice Bublé?
Mariah. He has a lovely voice.
I mean, he's terrible.
Mariah.
No, Bublé's terrible. Okay, he can sing. So what? Like,
I'm listening to a singer.
No, that's the minimum. That's all. Being able to sing should be the minimum. You just have to do so much more. That guy does nothing else but that. And you guys are just okay with it. No swag. No moves.
Oh, he has swag.
No, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't have swag.
Rogan has swag.
Groban does have
swag. Groban has swag.
I agree.
Dupley has no swag.
Dupley doesn't have much swag.
He's a nice dresser, I suppose.
He's kind of like a nerdy figure.
Are you kidding me? He's a nice dresser.
He's a nice dresser.
He doesn't pick his own clothes.
Clothes.
Anything with the clothes related is nice.
Clothes and clothes.
Clothes and clothes.
Yeah. Like, I can't believe this. Dupley!
On Christmas only.
So you
stop.
So you see what I mean?
I don't even like that.
Well, what's wrong with that as...
Put Mariah on.
Well, I no like wonder. Mariah more, see, but...
See, only soccer moms like Buble.
See, the problem is, it might not be a problem.
It is
a problem.
I get
this from my brother. That's the music he listens to. I grew up with that in my head nonstop.
So he's Buble. Singing it?
Wait a minute. Yeah, my brother sings Buble.
Yeah, your brother's in the rock band, right?
He's not a rock band.
No,
he
he's
sings
a pianist.
Elton. Yes, he's a pianist.
Oh, Elton. He sings with Elton John. Did you hear
Barry
that?
Barry Manilow. Yes. Michael Buble.
Listen to that resume.
That's you know what he listens
he
to.
He played with Harry Connick Jr.
That's
in New
right.
Orleans. We know that
he
as well.
He does that regularly.
Right. We know that.
It's Spirits down in and the other one. O'Hara or whatever it is.
But here's the problem.
O'Brien's.
So you many times will get on, you'll mention to us that your wife that hates us, her musical taste sometimes is a bit imperfect.
Good word.
And fair to say, imperfect. Well, once you open the Buble door.
Mm-hmm. Christmas only.
Right, but then it's, why not Train? Why not some of those other songs that she likes so much? Because you're opening the door with the Buble.
Buble is a good, crisp sound on a December 24th day.
He's a gateway drug.
Right.
Train has lots of Christmas songs. Right. You're going to start listening to Train Christmas next.
Right.
No.
Then,
yes, you are.
And it's a hop, skip, and a jump. Right there from Train to Nickelback.
Oh, yeah.
No.
And Nickelback to Creed.
Yep.
And all that stuff's all together. You opening it up. You know, one day somebody's just at a party. Next thing you know, they're at the methadone clinic. This
See?
Is what you're
gateway
doing.
Gateway drug.
It's a gateway drug. That's what you're doing.
How do you go from, like, Drake to Michael Buble? Well,
Russ and all that
you're
stuff.
You're acting as if I sit here and I actively listen to Buble. I haven't listened to Buble since December 25th of last year. But it's just a Christmas. If it's Christmas morning.
That's not true.
You can look through my Spotify.
Please, you know you use a different streaming service for your Buble.
I have a Buble app, like the Michael Buble app itself.
You bought the CDs and then you installed a portable 6-CD changer just for Buble. Put it on shuffle.
It is funny to think about to what I love, though. But on Christmas, you give me a Buble and I'm good to go.
Goodness gracious. Let's get our final Twitter poll numbers. From one Jen Scorno.
Again, I have to follow that. All right, who on the Eagles do you trust more this weekend against the Titans? I only gave you two to choose from, Jonathan Gannon or special teams. Jonathan Gannon winning at 81%. Nobody trusts them, special teams.
And I just would hate for that to be their undoing. And you know sooner or later, if they don't get it fixed, it will be the reason they lose a game. And that will be very difficult to deal with. You know, we never actually saw your official number one on Spotify.
That's not true. I put it up on social.
Yeah, well, that could have been your wife's.
It's
because
not.
You might have had Buble number one.
This is incredible.
I just don't understand people that like him.
I don't really know much about anything he does other than I like the Christmas tunes. He's got a nice voice.
He does have a lovely voice.
He can sing.
Okay, that's all you need. the other part
put him right up there with Drake with you.
I would say this. I would root against my kid if they went to a certain school.
I would not.
I would. If I had a son and he went on, he could play basketball anywhere and he chose Duke, I would then actively root against my own son. I would hope he had good individual stats.
There is no way. You have no heart if you did that.
Well, then,
no, he's just petty. That's all.
Yeah, that's all. Like, he knew the deal. You don't think he'll be aware that I don't like Duke?
Yes, I would think he'd be aware.
He
did it on purpose.
Yeah. So you're going to troll me? Well, now I'm going to troll you back for as long as you're there. You better be one and done because it's going to put a strain in our relationship otherwise if I'm trolling you for multiple years.
What Imagine, if Duke was the only one that was going to cost you zero?
If you're going to Duke, then
I'm just throwing
anywhere.
It out there.
No,
come on.
No.
Bad hypothetical.
I'll tell you what. No, I'll help pay tuition. For him not to go to Duke, if it comes to that. I'm not having that. I could not and would not root for my child if he went to Duke.
Now, I don't have an emotional connection to colleges, but if it happened to be he gets drafted by the Cowboys, Now I'm in a predicament.
I'm rooting against you. I hope you have good individual.
We'll be ripping on him here.
That's right. I'd be like, that number three sucks.
I would hope he has bad, good stats, but they lose every game, and then he leaves at the end of his rookie contract somewhere else.
That's a perfect compromise.
Yeah, I'm not rooting for the Cowboys under any circumstances, even my own flesh and blood. I can't do it.
But that I agree with. The passion, or I should say the hatred for Duke.
Every bit as much.
Yeah, so your love for the Eagles equals your hatred for Duke.
No. My hate for the Cowboys equals my hate for Duke.
Yeah, I really don't like Duke either.
See, I don't have the same hatred level for Cowboys and Duke.
I do. I have the same one. Cowboys, Duke, Giants, I can't stand them either. The Mets, hate them.
I get those. I don't get how Duke falls in the category of the Mets. I hate the Mets.
If anything,
Duke is like the evilest of evil empires.
Right.
But that doesn't. I don't have an emotional tie to college teams, I guess.
I would never. Duke, I would never.
What would Stevie J do if you went to Duke?
Stevie J would still rock with me.
Yeah?
Yeah. He's petty, but like.
Would you have to do as many yard work stuff? Or would you get a free pass? You go to Duke. You need time to rest.
I would have had less. That's why my brother had less. He got the football scholarship. He had much less to do. He did. He just generally had a lighter schedule. He had a lighter schedule. It's just the way it worked. Not there was nothing on the schedule. It was just lighter. Like, oh, yeah, he's going to play left tackle. I bet you he starts as a freshman. And then he did. So it was like, oh, see? Told you. This is why he was on the lighter schedule.
Now, did you ever line up with him in the backyard and try and beat him with a bull rush or something?
Talking about, I'd still do that, and I would physically fight him.
Okay. And I have seen your brother.
Yeah.
He is a big man.
I think he would get the best of you.
Okay, you can make that assumption, but the one thing is...
Well, I'll ask him and see how he feels about this matchup.
You should ask him. I'll text him right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's probably listening.
I'll text him right now. He's not going to do nothing. What are you talking about? Terrence's not about to do nothing. My brother's not. He's 6'6", 350 pounds.
He's a big man.
He's not about to do nothing. But anyway, it is now...
6'6", 350?
Yeah.
That's a big boy.
Yeah, he was at Fan Fest. He's just not going to do anything because he knows that you can't train the chin.
This is amazing.
Oh my goodness.
I would love to see.
It's almost like this is like a beginning of a fight here.
Oh, it probably is.
This is a fight that's been going on for 40 years.
Right.
What do you mean?
It's
never going to end. And he knows that as big as he is, listen, if he grabs me, he's got the advantage. But I got the eraser with both hands. I can get you out of there with one shot with either one.
My brother's a pianist. We had nothing to fight about. When we're not going out in the backyard. He's like, yeah, you want to duel me on the keys? You know what I'm saying? We never had that type of tussle.
And I also would have strategic moves with my brother. One time I threw my coat in the air.
So he looked up?
He looked up.
Where'd you go? Low? How low?
Not below, but low enough to get it. Because, again, I got the eraser with either hand. I get you out of there. With either one, left or the right. That's the scary part for a lot of people. If I can get you out with the right, then you think you can roll towards the left and you walk right into the sleep time. Now I got melatonin in both of these things.
I love it.
Right? The tranquilizers. Now it's time. The tranquilizers. Don't even know what you're talking about. The tranquilizers.
I know what it means.
Okay? They got melatonin in these things, all right? Even if he's a big dude, I roll with the big boys. Right. It is almost time. For our preferred picks of the week, brought to you by Preferred Home Improvement, specializing in roofing, windows, and siding for over 35 years, PHIbuilds.com. For the updated standings, right now, Jen was in a big lead for most of the year.
Man.
She's choking down the stretch, and now Hunter has a one-game lead over me. And Jen, Ricky and Dylan... have a ways to go to make up time, but they have time to make it up. But it has to start this week. Hunter Brody.
I suck.
You're having a tough year. But Hunter, as the leader, you will go first, sir. What are your picks this week?
Okay, I had this line speaking to me. I have Utah +3. Against USC. That is a tiny line.
Go Utes.
I'll be honest. I'm uncomfortable making this pick but I'm just trusting the Vegas numbers telling me where to go, which leads
that
me
game
to,
is tonight.
Tonight.
8 o'clock.
Tonight, which leads Same me to my second pick. The Commanders are -2 on the road in New York against the Giants.
Mm.
So Heinicke and the crew go on the road in a division game and cover the 2-point spread.
That's wonderful.
Ricky Bo?
I'm going the University of Southern California over Utah in those 3 points.
Oh, wow.
You guys are going to be taking that one, and especially you, Jen. Congratulations on that. And then I got the Vikings giving 3 to the Jets, who think they're good this week, which they're not.
Mike White.
Which they're not.
Mike
they had a
White.
Game in Mike White in the rain against the bad Chicago Bears team. This isn't going to be. Not this time. Vikings roll, and then my bonus bet, which I'm not actually taking, go Wolverines over Purdue.
Oh, they're going to kill Purdue. I mean, come on, even without what's his name. All right, I am taking Troy at the 8.5.
Troy.
Yes, over Coastal Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Sticking to all college this week. And TCU, -2.5 over Kansas State.
Okay, Dylan's picks. He's going against Hunter, and with you, Ricky, he goes USC -3, and he likes Kansas City -2. For my picks, as I work my way right back into contention, just like I did in fantasy.
You always do this.
I sometimes I'm a so-so. I was like that in school, too, where I would start off a market period kind of lane.
You're Joel Embiid.
And then I'd work my way into the market period. Like, you can't expect me to give you all the time in school. There's girls there. like, come on, man. Ravens, -9 versus the Broncos. I think the Ravens smoked that bad Broncos team. And also, in the SEC championship game, I like Georgia to cover the 17.5 versus LSU, mainly because LSU's previous loss to A&M kind of made the game not matter to them if they were probably playing for a chance to get into the playoff with a win. By losing to A&M, now they're playing for absolutely nothing. There's no way those players are as up for the game, and that's why I think Georgia blows them out. All right, and those were our preferred picks of the week, brought to you by Preferred Home Improvement, specializing in roofing, windows, and siding for over 35 years, phibuild.com. All right. Before we get to the question of the day, I have a question for the whole group. We know that there have been Eagles fans upset sometimes after wins if the win did not look the way they wanted it to look, a la the Colts. So on Monday, we'll give the predictions. They'll be online like they always are every week. Are Eagles fans happy or annoyed on Monday?
Happy.
Ecstatic.
Happy.
I think they're going to be annoyed. I think the Eagles going to win.
Because they win, but Gannon pisses everyone off?
Or it's just that it's not the rocking chair ride. So far, the only happiness has come from the rocking chair ride.
Well, the line's now, what, 4.5?
4.5 has dropped a full point during the week, from 5.5 to 4.5.
It still tells me Eagles, but you're right. It probably is going to be a little more uncomfortable than you envisioned.
That's what I mean. I think they're going to win the game, but I do think it's going to be uncomfortable. And if we know Eagles fans, and we do, I think they're going to be a little annoyed about them not winning by enough, because that's been how it's been. The worst thing that could happen to the Eagles, in a way, was not trailing in the second half for like 8 straight weeks to start the season, which is rare. But I think fans got a little too comfortable. And as soon as the adversity hit, the players responded fine, but some of us responded not so good. And I want to hear one more time. Do you have the good Christmas song there still, Jen? The good, not the one.
Not Blue Christmas.
Yeah,
the other one. Yeah,
the other one. Yep. from the Eagles. Mm-hmm. Yeah, play a little bit of it before we get to the question of the day. This is from the album "The Gang Makes a Christmas Record." Jason Kelce, Joy Bilotta, and Lane Johnson presented a limited edition vinyl of the year collection. Almost hit the post. I'm watching it fall, watching people around. Baby, please come home. All the church crowds in town.
That's good. Playing on Christmas morning.
Yeah, that's a good song. All the proceeds will benefit the Children's Crisis Treatment Center in Philadelphia. The first 1,000 are already going. There'll be a new drop on the 9th. And now let's get to our question of the day.
This is the question of the day. Let's go to the answering machine.
610-771-9705 is the number to call in. What was the question today, Jen?
With so many places opening early for the World Cup tomorrow, are you going out to support Team USA at a bar?
All right, let's see what the people had to say.
Yeah, I'm 45 years old, a little too old to be going to the bar too early, but I will be having a nice breakfast and maybe some mimosas watching Team USA. Go red, white, and blue.
45.
Not too old.
If it's too old to go to a bar, I got a lot to do over the next few years. I got a lot to do with my life. There's so many things in bars I haven't done that I still want to do. If I need to stop going, I have a lot. Like, I'm already there a lot. I'm very comfortable in a bar. If this is it, I gotta go out with a bang.
No, I'll be asleep. I hope they win, but I'm not getting up to watch paint dry or grass grow.
Whoa. Not a soccer fan, apparently.
Not a soccer fan. Now, over on social media, I got people saying, "It like this is where they disrespected the game. Any excuse to watch sports, even if it's soccer, or have a drink, even if it's soccer."
Oh, come on!
All right, big news coming up on when we get to Sixers pregame live. Yep. Tyrese Maxey will be on the show tonight. Thanks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thanks to Matt. Thanks to Dylan. Up next on the radio side, Draft Lines and on TV, Birds Huddle again. Later on, Maxey on Sixers Pre-Gay Live. We'll talk to you Monday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.